B-Pod Studios.
Boy, it's like a sauna in here. I guess, hi, everybody. I guess, earlier today, I guess, the air conditioning broke. And a beautiful day like we're having, maybe 80 outside, maybe 80 if we're lucky out there. Sunshiny day, cool nights. It is so hot in here.
How hot is it?
That I'm already soaked through my shirt. I'm already soaked through. I feel like I've just played a little one-on-one basketball in my shirt.
One-on-one with who?
I don't know.
Like a Muggsy Bogues?
Like a Muggsy Bogues. Or a Penny Hardaway.
No. If it was Penny Hardaway, you wouldn't be sweating at all.
Well, I won.
You would have dunked on it. And you can't even dunk.
No.
But you can't help but do it if you're playing Penny Hardaway, because they'll just stand there and watch you.
There's one of the biggest busts. Penny Hardaway. You don't hear from him anymore, do you?
Nope, but he still collects the checks. That's a guy who has skated through life.
I am in an absolutely wonderful mood today.
Well, why would that be?
I have not been more relaxed and feeling good than I do today. And you know why? I'll tell you why.
Okay, I'm wondering why. Couldn't imagine.
Other than the obvious, I went and I looked at my kids' school stuff. And today at school, because they got a shortened week, like we've got a shortened week here, they invite the parents to go and have Thanksgiving lunch with the kids, with your kid at school. And so before I came in today, I had to go down to my kid's school. You sign in, you buy your little lunch ticket, and you see the kids marching off into the cafeteria. And I had lunch with my kid today. She took me, it's obviously been years since I've had to go through a cafeteria line.
I hope it was Sloppy Joe's with buttered corn.
No, it was the traditional Thanksgiving dinner, which made her proud because I'm going to her school during her cafeteria lunchtime to sit down with her class.
That's
and
the only
have
school lunch.
Lunch
thing I miss is Sloppy Joe's with buttered corn.
I used to like Pizza Day.
Yeah,
Pizza Day was always like on a Friday, and it was always good. Sloppy Joe's, don't get me wrong,
Sloppy Joe's
was always good.
With buttered corn.
Yes. And they would really butter it up. You had a thick butter sauce in there.
They cooked healthy for you back then.
Yeah.
Do they still do that?
All the essentials that you have, the food groups.
They still butter it up and salt it up good?
They had some carrots, glazed carrots there, that not as buttered up as I remember them. But they were very flavorful. But,
you need to gain some weight. The institutional food will do it for you.
No doubt. Because they had mashed potatoes, gravy, the turkey, stuffing only for the parents.
Yeah, but
fruit.
I admire you for going to eat with your kid. I couldn't do it though.
Why?
Because I hear the cafeteria ladies put boogers in the food.
They do?
Yeah. So I just I bring my lunch now, and my mom cuts the crust off the bread for me. Because I used to like the food, but then I heard they put boogers in it. Especially that one lady.
That one fat one?
Yeah. You know the one
I'm
talking about.
With the
hairnet? Yep.
Puts boogers in the food?
I think her name's Imogene.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, why's it got to be a special occasion for you to go enjoy lunch with your kid?
I have done it before. I've sat in her class before where you have the day where the parents
come
in.
You were lacking some credits and you needed
and
to
And I was
play
lacking
catch
a few
up.
Credits in like social science and all that kind of stuff. But as far as in the past when she's had these special days, they would set it up so that you ate in the classroom. This was a big day for her because I got to go with her into the big cafeteria for the Thanksgiving dinner and all the trimmings.
Is it just the cafeteria or is it a cafetorium?
What's a cafetorium?
It's the cafeteria and the auditorium.
Yeah, there was a stage there.
Yeah, so it's a
cafetorium. You're right. A cafetorium. And you know what? I'm trying to remember back to my high school days, or my elementary school days, for this matter.
Well, that's...
that's asking a lot.
Yeah, that's not really applicable.
How much time did you have when you were in grade school? How much time did they give you for lunch?
Going back to grade school?
Yeah. How much time did they give you for lunch?
Maybe half hour, 45 minutes.
I was thinking at least a half hour, and I remember, I believe we had about 40 minutes.
I think when it got up into the upper levels, it was like 45 minutes.
Go down there, and each class has their time schedule for lunch. And her lunch schedule was from 12:32, that's when they get into the cafeteria, and you're out of the cafeteria, trays all put away, lining out by 12:56. And so you go there, you get your tray, you go and wait in line for the food. You got about maybe 15 minutes tops to go and eat your food. And I'm watching my kid because she's gobbling the food down. She's hungry. Just got through with Jim, and she didn't even have time to finish her food. I says, is this how fast it happens all the time? She goes, yeah. This is the way. There goes the signal for our class to go.
You don't even have time to smoke.
You don't. You don't have time for a smoke break. You don't have none of that. It's like you sit down, find a place to sit, eat fast.
I mean,
when
are you supposed to have time to, you know, play grab ass with your friends and all that?
None. They don't. Oh, and that's another thing. Now, I remember, you know, things would get out of hand from time to time in the cafeteria with the food fights and what have you.
Yeah.
But this one here, they have the rules posted in the cafetorium.
And you know, in a food fight, you gotta decide as soon as it starts how you're gonna play it.
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Do you throw the whole tray or do you use it as a shield and take the food piecemeal?
Piecemeal was always the best way to go because then.
But those whole trays made an impact.
Yes, they did. Now they got much smaller trays than I remember now. And
Do they still look the same?
No, they're all compartmentalized. A special thing to keep your.
Are they plastic?
They're plastic.
Yeah.
And if the noise level in the cafeteria, now these are elementary school
kids. We need to keep it down to a dull roar,
well,
please.
They get the light thing. I'm sitting there with a mouthful of turkey, and then out go the lights.
The F word was about to come out of your mouth,
well,
wasn't it?
What the hell's this?
Nobody wants to be treated like that, including kids.
And then, you're right. And then my kid.
I'm trying to eat.
My kid turns to me, he says, the noise level's getting too loud in here. If you don't.
So you had to tone it down.
Yeah. You're using your outside.
So you embarrassed her.
Yeah, you're using your outside voice.
What were you doing?
I was talking. And she says, you know what? If this cafeteria,
you know what? I'm gonna get it.
She's going to lose points.
If that works, I'm going to get closer to the light switch and start using that on you.
Well, yeah. The lights go off. Okay? And I'm like, well, what the hell's this? And she tells me, you got to stay quiet, Dad, because too many people are using their outside voice. And if we talk too loud, we're going to lose points because I guess they get 10 points for a good cafeteria. And then the note goes home with the parents. They got blankety-blank points for the day. You get 10 slapped off for a food fight. You're done for the rest of the day. You don't get the full
points. There's no appealing that.
And there's no appealing that. And I'm like, what the hell's this? I'm eating like a bat out of hell. No time to relax, kick back.
Did you get an adult-size lunch, or did you get the same thing as your kid?
No, I got an adult-size lunch because I told you. The adults got helping of stuffing.
But the kids didn't.
No. So my kid's walking out with the tray, and I'm like, Shelby, where's your stuffing? You like stuffing. Come back over and get it. And then the big fat lady, what's her name, Irma?
Imogene.
Tells
me she puts boogers in the food.
Tells me no stuffing for the kids, that's for the parents. I gave her half my stuffing and said, enjoy. Crying out loud, you know? Kids today.
Well, what'd she give you?
Huh?
What'd she give you?
The joy of her company. What?
Man, I don't know. I don't even know how you made it through school. You give up half your stuffing, you got to get something back.
If it was like the punk that was sitting across from me, I'd have to get something back. That's my kid.
Well, I don't care. It sets a bad example. And
is that going to spread around the school?
Yeah, all her little friends are going to be going, hey, Shelby, your dad's a punk-ass bitch.
Punk-ass bitch?
Yeah, giving up half your stuffing, getting nothing in return.
I gave my kid half my stuffing.
Yeah.
How does that make me a punk-ass bitch?
Because you don't give up something for nothing.
Okay, fine. I'll make
that's
it up.
The hard
I'll
knocks.
Make it up at dinner tonight.
Yeah, that's the Hard Knocks in elementary school. Well, it doesn't matter at dinner. That's a whole different atmosphere.
I got to do it in.
Yeah.
All right, then she doesn't get her snack for school tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if she did the same thing to you when she was visiting you in prison.
Prison? That's it's not out of the question. It could happen. See me in the big house.
Don't kid me. You're close to snapping. you're in a good mood today, but I know how close you are to snapping.
Oh, very close. But I'm okay today.
Yeah. We had a big night Saturday night.
Yeah, we did have a big night Saturday night.
Gave away that motorcycle.
Huge crowd down there for bike night. You guys
almost too big a crowd for my liking.
It was an overflowing crowd. A lot of leather. A lot of leather down there. And
when we got up on stage.
Yeah.
The stage was right there at First and Henry, right?
Correct.
As far as you could see,
were people.
And I guess it was looking south from where we were, isn't it?
Yes, that was looking down Henry Street.
Yeah, looking down Henry Street, people packed in the street as far as you could see. And we were up on an elevated stage and just packed all the way down Henry Street.
Tremendous turnout. Great turnout for the bike giveaway. We had a good time, and thanks to everybody that showed up.
And, of course, they never learned their lesson. I should not be involved in the execution of contests.
Why? You did fine.
Now, I did fine when I was reading names.
Yes.
But somehow the baton got passed to me where I was involved in the execution of the contest, and this simply shouldn't happen.
Was that about the time I grabbed the bullhorn?
No. No, and I could kill that drummer. The band that was up on stage, the drummer had a bullhorn and whipped it out, and before I could say, keep that thing away from Stan, he had already grabbed it.
I was doing crowd control.
And the funny thing is, when Stan grabs a bullhorn, he loves to use the bullhorn, but he can never think of what to say. So I have to feed him lines then on what to say.
You don't want me to use that bullhorn, but yet, you're feeding me lines.
Well, once you have the bullhorn, I don't want you to embarrass yourself with it.
Oh, I'd never embarrass myself with a bullhorn.
Because we needed people to clear away from the bike so that the contestants could get up there. And nobody was listening to you, and so I had to give you the language.
What was the language you gave me? What was the line you gave me?
If you do not step away from the bike, you will be in violation.
Oh, yeah.
You will be in violation.
And that's what I told
them. Now, see, when drunk people hear language like that coming out of a bullhorn, it doesn't matter if it's your voice or anybody's. They think trouble. They think, hey, VOP.
VOP?
Yeah, violation of probation.
Oh, yeah.
They think, yeah, I don't need this. So then they part like the Red Sea.
And they did.
But we're up on stage, the bike directly below us. Mark Steele was actually the guy that was operating the lock there.
Turning the key.
That they had on the motorcycle. I call up the first contestant because that was my job to read names.
Yeah.
First contestant standing there, Mark Steele takes a key and just opens up the friggin' lock.
Oh, that's right. I do remember.
And so I start saying, this guy's the winner.
There you
and all
win.
That. And then I see Mark Steele suffer what I believe they call a TIA. It wasn't a full-on stroke, but it was a small stroke. And he starts shaking his head and waving his arms begging for mercy.
Same button, like saying, well, what do you mean, no? Did he not unlock?
Evidently, he was just testing the lock. And, that was a great position to be in because the guy that was up first there looks at me like he's ready to kill. Because then Steele goes, no, we got to go to the fishbowl for the key. And, sure enough, his key did not, in fact, unlock the bike. Motorcycle. Yeah. But no one told me they were going to test the lock. And that's why we need to just reiterate. We can put out a memo to whom it may concern, all department heads, as per Haney. I do not need to be involved in the execution of the contests.
Ahoy, K-Rock, you're on the air.
Hello. How you doing there, Stan? This is Ray down at the dealership.
Ray at the deal. What are you calling me at work for, Ray?
You know, I don't forget my good customers, and I just wanted to make sure. Did you get a Christmas card from me yet?
No, I did not get a Christmas card from you. I haven't gotten one in a good 6-7 years from you, Ray.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? I apologize for that because I've sent you one. For the past, ever since we first got to know one another, I always like to put a little candy cane in there. They tend to get a little crushed up, and maybe that's what the problem
that
is.
Might be
you know, I did get one return and said it was suspicious content, so that could be it. I might have to do away with candy canes. Well, sir, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Can I ask Merry Christmas to you, Ray? Can I ask you why you're calling?
Well, it's that time of year, you know.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
Sort of like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You know,
Merry Christmas.
Old Ray down here at the dealership's got a list, and he checks it twice. Not a lot of people do that in this day and age, but
that's
I
true.
Appreciate my customers,
right.
Even though you haven't bought a damn thing in quite some time.
No, I learned my lesson, Ray. I haven't bought a car from you in at least 10 years because I learned my lesson. You
yes.
have bounced
yes,
you have bounced around every single dealership in this town. Not only Collier County, Lee County, Hendry County, Charlotte County. You've been at every one of them, and it just seems like you're a nomad of the car dealership business.
Well,
you're what?
You did forget Glades.
Yep, you're there too. And you know what? You're a shyster. I can't deal with you.
Even if you wanted to buy a vehicle for me today, I'm not going to let you.
Good.
That's not the purpose of this call. I can't just
what are you talking
stand
about?
There and watch things go on that I know in my heart is wrong.
You've been fired.
I will move on until I can find a dealership that I feel comfortable with. I'm in the people business, not the car business.
Okay. All right. Wait.
And I do have a sniffer out on you, and I did see that there'd been some activity there as far as your auto credit.
I know that. I just bought a car.
In the state of Florida, nobody has to live with a mistake like you may have made.
Wait, I didn't make a mistake. What are you doing looking at my credit?
I'm not asking you to buy a car from me.
I don't want to buy a car from you.
I won't even sell you one, sir.
Good.
But I try to look out for my customers.
I'm not your customer.
And make sure that they're not getting a raw deal.
So you think I got a raw deal?
Yep. I'm just telling you, you may want to rethink what you did.
And you're here to help me rethink that.
Well, Stan, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Are you still a fan of the music of the Cars?
Yeah, I like the Cars.
Because I thought of you, and it's just something I do for my people.
Right.
When somebody purchased a quality pre-loved vehicle, and by God, I go under the hood myself. I'll crawl down there on a board with wheels and look underneath the chassis and make sure everything's in tip-top shape. That's the Ray guarantee.
The Ray guarantee. That's why I've bought lemons from you, overpriced lemons.
You still like the Cars?
Yeah, I like the Cars.
Because what I'm doing for my people is out of my own pocket.
Uh-huh.
I get what they call an MP3 stick. And I'll fill it up with your favorite artist.
It's amazing. Now, where you're at right now.
Isn't that something?
Let me ask you.
Ray? Would you like an eggnog?
No, eggnog over at the look.
You know what? I've got hamburgers. I've got candy canes. Why don't you bring your daughter? Come on down. Let's celebrate Christmas together.
I don't want to come down to the dealership and celebrate Christmas with you down there because you'll hose me into trying to buy something that I don't want to buy. I've got a nice new car. I'm happy with it. I'm happy about the dealership I bought it at. Not you, unless you can make one hell of a deal. What kind of deal can you get me?
Dan, why don't you bring that nice new car down to your buddy Ray?
Yeah, and what are you going to do with it?
I will send it over to the service department, let them give it a once-over while you and me and your daughter celebrate Christmas. I got a tree up here in the office, and I got you both gifts.
You didn't even send a Christmas card.
I did send a Christmas card, sir.
That's just to get to talk to me, and now you're starting to wheel and deal and double talk me, and now you got me coming down to celebrate Christmas.
I don't know where you're coming up with wheeling and dealing and double talking. This is all about protecting your interests. You know, the way I look at the car business is nobody should drive off the lot upside down, especially as you're underwater, friend. How fair is that?
And
I don't like to see a good person like you end up underwater the minute they drive off the lot.
Ray, get me off your Christmas list. I don't want to be on your list. I don't want to hear from you ever again. Yeah,
well, I'll tell you what. I sure would feel better. This isn't about trying to sell you a car. I just want to make sure that you've done okay, because I can have our mechanics take a look at that automobile and make sure that It is what they say it is.
It's only got 100 miles on it.
Now, God forbid they find a problem. I will go to war for you with this other dealership and make sure you get a quality automobile and you can return this lemon. And we got fruit punch.
96 K-Rock, Leonard Skinner, the needle and the spoon, I believe, about heroin, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's about heroin, the needle and the spoon.
Hmm.
Because you cook it on that spoon.
That's odd.
What?
You remember there used to be that store, the needle and the spoon, where they taught you how to sew and cook.
I don't think it's about that.
Never had a negative connotation to me before today, but yeah, I guess you're right.
I'm glad
probably
I could
tip you off. Probably is about heroin. Jesus.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, does Sarita still happen to be on the line?
Sarita's gone.
Oh, man, I wanted to tell her how much I was looking forward to eating her gravy.
I guess a lot of people are,
yeah.
She's, every year she sells the stuff, puts in pre-orders for it.
Well, not only did I want to eat her gravy, I wanted to eat the whole bird.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, I thought Mel's had the best pies around, not Perkins.
Mel's has a great, what, foot-long fluff pie. What do they call?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Foot-long fluff pie?
What do they call it? A giant pie.
I don't even know what a foot-long friggin'
fluff pie is. You know what I'm talking about. The big tall, what do they call them?
The big tall.
Mile-high pie.
Well, where do you get foot-long fluff cake out of that?
It's a fluff pie.
It's a foot-long fluff pie.
They've got banana, coconut, and the chocolate fluff mile-high. They call it the mile-high. You get a slice of that after dinner at Mel's, and it is huge. You got to have two people to eat that.
Yeah, you knock off a slice after you had some of that first batch of gravy.
That first generation gravy.
Yeah.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air. K-Rock, hello.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could trade some of my man for that.
Do you seriously want some? I can put a call in for you.
Absolutely. I love single black women, and she just sounds like a terrific lady.
She's a single black
single
woman,
mother, yeah.
Single mother of, I think, five or six.
Well, one doesn't count because he's in prison now.
That's exactly right. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Lauren Ellis pies.
What?
Lauren Ellis.
Good pies, too.
What is it?
Flora and Ella's, out in La Belle.
I've never had a Flora and Ella pie.
They're good.
Woo!
And anybody that wants to donate a food dehydrator.
Oh, come on.
I can't get a goat out back. I can't get ashtray out back to eat the weeds. At least let me dehydrate some meat. Oh, you don't want to have a goat out back. You got to have something for him, some shelter, and you got to make sure he's fed and watered. He eats, we want him to eat the weeds. They're 9 feet tall.
And it rains every day.
They like that, I think.
Well, it gives them water.
Exactly. 277 or 775-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Al Dickinson at Dickinson Signs, you guys.
Hey, Al, how you been? We haven't heard from you in a while.
I know. I'm up here in Billerica, Massachusetts.
Ah, are you listening to us on an app?
Every single day.
How are things up there? Because I remember when you made the move and you were heading back up there. Everything good?
Yep. Everything's great. I was listening to you when nobody else could hear you the other day when the lightning hit your building. Yeah,
that's right. That's why we were so glad. All
strange
of our
world we're in
yep.
today.
Think about that. Somebody in Massachusetts can listen to us when people locally couldn't because we got hit by lightning.
Yep, and it was a good show that people.
Oh, they missed a lot of quality. It's called quality.
I mean, with radio professionals like you guys.
Right, Al.
It's amazing.
Hey, let me ask you. Didn't you guys have a... I'm talking. That's all right, buddy.
Take it easy, Stan.
Didn't you have a bout of weather come up through there the other day?
Yeah, we did. It rained.
Rained a lot. Yeah, right. Hey, it's good hearing from you, Al.
Good hearing from you. I kind of miss Florida a little bit.
Well, yeah, but Florida's waiting for you, though, whenever you want to come back.
I'll come back probably when I'm old and gray and retire and around the same time you guys do.
Yeah. Bye, Al.
See you later.
I don't know why, man. You know, it's a...
What?
I should be in a good mood.
You should be.
I know what it is.
What is it?
My own fault.
What?
I woke up too early.
Oh, don't start this.
I got my schedule, Stan.
Yeah, you got your schedule. I've known you for 30 years, and I still can't figure out your schedule. Oh, don't worry. I was up earlier than I normally should have been up today because I had the cat box breaking down. It snapped. And
error.
Yep.
Error.
Because it couldn't get through all the stuff.
Error.
And then they decided, the grounds people, we got new gardeners around the condo complex. They started at 7:05 today.
Oh, leaf blowers on high.
Leaf blowers, trimmers, mowers.
You ever wonder that? They always turn on the leaf blowers first, the loudest thing.
They know what they're doing.
Oh, of course they do.
Here's the Christmas letter that I got in the mail today. We hope this holiday season finds you in great spirits and even better health.
Oh, that's nice. How nice is that?
The year started on a triumphant note.
Yeah! Okay, so far.
As we finish the renovations caused by the tornado and are happy and glad to be back home. As the saying goes, humble.
Did you say tornado?
Yeah.
I thought everything was great.
No. This is the Christmas letter. It's been a very busy year for the entire family, especially the children. Marie remains the night owl and social butterfly of the family, and she's always surrounded by a host of friends.
Men.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to her, the family has been introduced to 3 members of the Miami Heat.
What?
Young David continues to enjoy...
The mother? Is hanging out with the Miami
Heat? No, that's the daughter.
Oh, no.
Young David continues to enjoy a more sedate lifestyle and spends most of the afternoon reading quietly or watching the neighbors through binoculars. Stevie continues to try to find his calling, but is quite proud to have achieved a new high score for Call of Duty 2.
Yes, Stevie is, he will be successful.
In March, Cindy welcomed a new member to the family as she rescued an 11-year-old schnauzer mix from the shelter. However, her beloved kitty, Mittens, did have to undergo successful brain surgery in July. Between Mittens' recovery and the hamster's colostomy, she's been quite busy. Darlene celebrated 15 years with the county as a toll supervisor. Continues to love her work, although she admits it's a bit more difficult since the amputation. And finally, we just couldn't be more proud of Uncle Bill, as he's now lost 45 pounds and is very proud to have been 175 days sober. Crossed out, 4 days sober.
One day at a time.
Yeah, one day at a time. God bless you and yours this Christmas. This is right there. People don't want to know about your hamster's colostomy and your daughter's amputation and Uncle Bill's 4 days of sobriety.
Yep.
And it includes a picture of the family.
Let me see. That's part of the experience.
Yeah, part of the experience. I usually try to stay up to date on this, but since I'm not in the holiday spirit, when does Hanukkah start?
I have heard in confidence from certain chosen people that
they're calling it off this year?
No, just certain chosen people that are friends of mine. It's like, hey, don't feel guilty about Christmas. And Hanukkah, yeah, it's there, but it's one of our lesser holidays, and you making a big deal about it is almost embarrassing to us. And you're
because
really...
it's a lesser holiday. Well, it is a lesser holiday as
for
far
the
as
Jews,
the
yes.
Jews go,
and for people. I think it would be okay if you recognized all the other high holy days throughout the year.
For us Christians, Christmas is not the biggie. Easter's the biggie. Yes! That's the day Christ is risen.
It's all one thing. I mean, if you want to think about it theologically, I'll argue with anybody
I don't want you to argue.
And I don't want to denigrate Easter. I think they're both equally important. If you're going to focus on one thing, then yes. Focus on Easter if you're ignorant of what's happened. But I think to deny the magnitude of Christmas, because that's the moment... When God sent his...
I understand that, but that would be Easter's A and
I would argue that we should have another recognized Christian holiday and pick a nice time of year where it'll be good for everybody. But I think we should celebrate the day that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist.
I think there is a holy day, and I know in the Catholic faith, people will go to Mass in the middle of the week because
Stan,
it hits on
I'm
a day.
I'm not talking about Catholic stuff here.
I'm just
talking
saying,
about the Christian religion.
There are holy days.
I'm not talking Catholic
stuff. And Catholic's
stuff.
A Christian religion. Ah, I just asked when Hanukkah is. That's all I asked. When's Hanukkah?
Oh, it's happening December 20th through the 28th, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I usually would want to...
You know what? I think that really should...
care. I just asked where it went Hanukkah is. And a menorah and dreidels
what
and
about
all that.
Celebrating the day when Jesus whooped Satan's ass?
There are days.
There are lots of days.
I'll get you a book that tells you about all the holy days. There's a bunch of them there.
I know. It's been cut down to the bare minimum of the birth and resurrection.
Those are the biggies. That's what we were just talking about. What's the biggies? Big.
Well, some might argue.
And I just said Hanukkah. I agreed with you. Hanukkah is not the Jews' biggie.
Okay.
It just falls near Christmas. And there's a lot of... jealous Jewish kids because when I was a kid growing
up,
it's the truth.
When I these days,
because they don't have a Christmas tree, we had one Jewish neighbor on the street, and when he was a little kid, his mom used to bring him over to the house so he could look at the Christmas tree. But don't look too hard, and then get out of the house. I know
that was a long time ago.
Correct. I asked when Hanukkah is.
Oh, December 20th
Thank
through the
you,
28th.
Thank you, Haney.
Yep, they'll have the menorahs up. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good time, but... I mean, that's like the Vietnamese. Tet ain't bad, but it ain't Christmas. And, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is...
this is a Monday, and Christmas already is... I am just really...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I just asked when Hanukkah is!
Christmas is...
Sometimes it's earlier than Christmas, sometimes it's a little after... Sometimes it falls right smack dab into Christmas.
Christmas
I don't care about Orthodox Jews, non-Orthodox, holy day.
Right?
I asked when Hanukkah is.
December 20th through the
28th. Thank you.
Now, Christmas is one that it's been hijacked by the big retailers.
I know.
The other holidays are all greeting card holidays.
So Christmas is retail. The other ones are greeting cards.
Yes.
That's true when you think about it. With an Easter, you get an Easter card.
Yep.
With Christmas, you get a present.
And what they do is the greeting card industry will pick an industry to team up with. A lot of times it's candy and florists for the rest of the holidays.
I understand that. I understand.
And they cut a deal.
I understand that.
And none of that has anything to do with Jesus.
December 20th.
Through the 28th.
Through the 28th.
Yep.
Thank you. How was your weekend?
Oh, just horrific.
I will tell you this right now.
My weekend was like Saw 8, if that's come out. But, you know, I'm trying to keep in the holiday spirit.
Uh-huh.
I love you, Stan.
I love you, Haney.
Merry Christmas.
AM 960.
Yes, ma'am. Long time listener, first time caller.
Yes.
And Dr. Kim, I really enjoy your program.
Thank you very much.
And
pleasure to bring it to you.
I let all my friends know about Wild Florida, and what? It puts a lot of seniors at ease. Uh-huh. And specifically, when you taught us how to tell the difference between a copperhead and a zipperhead, probably saved my life.
Well, it's a pleasure. Can I have your name, sir?
This is Robert Margoline.
Yes, sir. Mr. Margoline, what is your question today?
I think you may have talked about this before. Because I thought I might have had chameleons on my back porch by the pool. And you said that normally what you're actually seeing is called a blue-tongued vole. And the cats like to play with them.
Oh, be careful, though, with your cat. It could make them very, very sick.
It did make it sick. And
what is that?
Well, that's one of them blue-tongued bulls. I'm sitting out here in my resin chair.
Now, Mr. Margoline, did your cat get sick?
Well, I had called another program on AM 960, the Kitty Corner, a while back.
Oh, that's a very popular show here on AM 960, you stupid idiot.
I just
suspect. You're stupid.
These blue-tongued bulls, you said, don't call them chameleons.
No, because they're not.
But
I'm
a little concerned about how aggressive they are.
They're very aggressive. Stand back! Stand back!
Well, I certainly won't go in to do aqua aerobics when they're swimming in the pool.
They're in the pool? Mr. Margoline, they're in the pool?
Yes, ma'am. They like to swim in the pool, and they're very territorial. I sent Margie inside.
Yes, good.
We're going to have some sangria. But I guess I got the picture all to myself. My grandkids call it Grandpa's grown-up Kool-Aid. Sometimes I'll let them suck out the fruit.
Hey, Mr. Margoline.
But I'm just concerned that maybe that this may not be the common type of lizard. And they just... They're very aware that I'm here.
Listen to me very carefully, Mr. Margoline. Do not make. I repeat.
Dr. Kim, are you there? They are just. The smaller ones scurry around, and the larger ones, well, they just think they're the cock of the walk. When I take a broomstick to them, they just get mad.
Yeah, don't take a broomstick to them. Do not take a broomstick to them, you bonehead.
I've been listening to your show.
You're not listening to my show.
And I've been taking your advice that these things are perfectly harmless.
Oh, yeah, go play with one right now. Throw it a ball. It'll fetch.
Well, I'll tell you, I like to use the gas grill. First, I thought it might have been neighbor kids playing a prank, but now I think maybe the lizard took the steaks.
How big are these lizards? Why do I care? How big are these lizards?
These things are 3-4 foot long.
Shoot them. Wrestle them. Get in there with them. Swim in that toxic water in your pool. Invite the family over.
Some kind of,
oh, yeah.
What's the most humane way to do this?
With a Garrett. Stop that. You called the wrong radio station. I don't even know who Dr.
I'm just wondering, Dr. Kim.
I'm not
what's
Dr.
the right
Kim.
Thing to do here?
Oh, for Pete's sake, I'm not Dr. Kim.
Is there some sort of repellent?
Yeah, you spray hairspray at them.
Will that work?
Yeah, that'll work. You do that. You do that.
What? I got one coming at me now.
Oh, don't take a defensive posture. Be aggressive towards it. Whoa.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready, man. I just got me 64 ounces of Mountain Dew.
Oh, here we go.
Wait. Look at this.
Woo! Yeah, and you know, according to Florida school children, Tom drinking that Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
You're safe. No need for a condom. Can't get anybody pregnant
That's
if you're
right.
drinking Mountain Dew.
We'll run that by me again?
There was a survey done. I'll get to it in the news okay. later on as to what Florida school children believe as far as contraception. If you drink Mountain Dew, you can't get a girl pregnant. And if you smoke pot, you can't get a girl pregnant. And if you drink a cap full of bleach,
yeah,
you can't get AIDS.
That's what I hear.
Woo! Woo!
Nice.
Makes and you'll get me. Into more details later on about that.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
But we teach abstinence in the schools.
You know, and
so that leaves the kids to come up with their own theories.
Right, drink you, Mountain Dew, no pregnancy.
Let me ask you a question. When you were in high school, the days that you attended, because
well,
course,
I
know you
I
didn't
came
need
out early.
To attend.
You got to remember, Stan, you were more of a free agent pickup in the radio business. I was a first-round draft pick.
That.
I came out after my sophomore year
but,
of high school.
Right.
But, what? Did you, maybe, and Tom, you went through your senior year, right?
Yeah, I attended all 4 years.
I came out early.
Right. I was a free agent pick.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, other people, they take a longer course where you,
right.
not only did you complete high school,
right.
you went all the way through college.
Yeah, and, which was the minor leagues and all
right.
that.
Yeah.
Made my way up through AAA. And,
well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like the difference between an A-Rod and maybe a late bloomer who plays for the University of Texas for 4 years and is drafted every year in like the 116th round.
Right. Were you taught sex education in school?
No.
I taught it myself.
I'm not asking you.
We're not talking about what you did in the
remark.
Woods. What you did in the woods, you know, after 4 o'clock.
Haney's track record. I'm asking you.
See, I knew you two were plotting
We've
against
seen
me.
The sepia tone picture with you and
yeah,
the two young ladies.
Who hasn't? I think there's a poster made of the thing somewhere hanging.
Who would do that?
You!
I don't have a poster of it, no.
It's the screensaver on his own computer.
That is...
No, that's not true. The screensaver on my own computer is the logo for my HD radio station.
Oh, jeez, and fold those arms.
Yep.
It was the eighth grade going to school in Connecticut, junior high. Top floor of the high school is where the junior high was. That was part of the curriculum, and I'm not talking about health class, which was different.
That's what I was going to say, is we had...
Yeah, we had
health class that sort of touched on it, but stayed away
exactly.
from it.
Exactly, we had A&P, anatomy and physiology. Which
was a required course in the eighth grade sexual education.
Well, that's because you're from the Northeast.
Yeah, I guess. And the first day... You walked into that classroom. They had the two anatomically correct lower torsos in the room.
And
I think you can go to jail for that in Florida. If you
I
put
think
that
you
in a
can.
Classroom.
Yeah. That's why I remember when I moved down here and there were big debates about sex ed in school was such a hot topic. And should it be in school or should it was automatic for us. And it was very, I mean, it wasn't like anything that was racy or anything like
titillating.
That. Titillating? Right. None of it. It was very analytical. Mm-hmm. And but the, you know, we always made the jokes.
These
you're an eighth grader.
Yeah, these are the parts. These are what they do.
Well, you always look for the girl that was giggling.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the girls weren't giggling. It was watch, the guys that were giggling.
Right. Well, you watch for the girls. Watch the ones that blush.
Right.
And
or the, suck their pens.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you walked in there, and the two torsos from the waist to the thigh is what these were.
Well, where
the
desk,
desktop models.
And, so they had the business end on display.
Yes. And they had two little hooks on each one of the little torsos. The teacher took the hooks off and opened them up. So like you got sliced right down the middle so you could see the inside of all the parts. And we were handed our textbooks. And
not so impressive on a man. It's pretty much just a pipe.
Yeah. It's just, well, it's a pipe, and then, it, you know, to the testicles, and then the urethra.
Well, I'm talking about when you open it up.
Oh, well, and then they have
just
the parts.
Just a pipe.
Yeah. Well, they open up, and then you could take the parts out, like with the uterus and all of that. Mm-hmm. You could take it out of the girls. And it went through everything. It got it all done in the
eighth
grade.
So you basically had, in eighth grade, you had to perform a hysterectomy.
Yeah, pretty much. You had to identify the parts. One chapter was all on contraceptives.
What about cunnilingus? They teach you that?
No. But they showed you where the hot button was and told you all about that and why it's connected to this and connected to that. And
yeah, what was their answer to that?
Look, it's the eighth grade. I forgot most of it. But
at one point, you could speak like three different foreign languages,
well,
couldn't you?
Yeah, well, hell yeah.
You had a great education.
Yep, sure
you remember
did.
None of it.
No. Spanish and French. Took in school. 3 years of Spanish.
It is, man. It's,
and I cannot speak a word of it.
It's too much. And I would bet you that even when you get to, you know, the level of doctor or lawyer, I'm sure they're very good at what they do, but if you ask them to go back and take the same test they took in college, they couldn't pass
it. Probably wouldn't pass it. And most attorneys, and they'll be lying if they say they didn't know.
An attorney? Lie?
There's so much case law out there that if they have a case, they don't know it right off the top of their head. They got to go to the law books and find something that goes.
Well, that's why they have researchers and stuff.
Yeah, and go, and because they don't know. Let's find out. But I knew in the eighth grade that you could still get a woman pregnant even with or without Mountain Dew. But
I did have some theories that later proved to be false, but
sure.
I can't say what they were.
But they taught everything from the IUDs, birth control pills, to the, of course, the proved by the Catholic Church, the rhythm method.
Right.
Yeah, I rationalized a lot of things that just weren't factually correct.
Right. They brought in all of that stuff, too. They passed around an IUD. They passed around the compact of birth control pills.
So chastity belts, they show you those?
She talked about it, how they did it in the old days, how to keep the guy off you. They wore these. Went through all of that stuff. All of that stuff, so that by the time you went into high school, you were pretty well educated on what worked and what didn't work. And I remember going to college and moving to Florida and hearing the big hot debate about whether sex ed should be taught in schools. And I'm like, it was no big deal.
Well, there is a little bit of truth to the people that don't want sex ed taught. Because I do believe that some of the kids, absolutely, out in the middle of everything. But other kids, you're just giving them ideas.
Yeah, that's true, but you know what? What kind?
Because I told you about that guy that in fifth grade talked about how you should never smoke and that, you know, I started smoking at your age. And, you know, it never occurred to me that I could smoke. I think I'll try it.
But what would you rather have them learn? The right things as far as contraceptives go, or thinking by drinking a shot of bleach because somebody told them you're not going to get AIDS?
Well, they're going to hear that. Whether you have a class or not, they're going to hear those things.
Yeah, and but the class still will set them straight.
The class,
yeah, but they're not going to. Who would you believe, your buddy or the teacher?
The class set everybody pretty. You're keep in mind, you're eighth graders. You really haven't gotten that that deviancy going. When you're in high school, you're running around, especially 16, get the driver's license.
What deviancy are you talking about?
You know, getting into trouble.
Eighth grade, I don't see, there's nothing deviant about it. It's a normal impulse.
But there's nothing deviant about drinking down a shot of bleach and chugging a Mountain Dew and then thinking that you're not going to get pregnant.
Well, no, that's stupid. That's not deviant. I don't understand the use of the word deviant.
And a deviant behavior of a like a ninth grader. What's, out of control.
What would be an example of deviant behavior?
Robbing a 7-Eleven and taking the clerk behind the counter and thinking, don't worry about it, sweetheart. I just drank a Mountain Dew. That's deviant behavior.
You did that?
Not me.
Did that happen?
I know better, because I had 8th grade sex ed.
They taught you not to rob a 7-Eleven.
Did that happen?
What?
The 7-Eleven story.
With who, me?
Anybody you know?
No, that was hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
He reads.
You know, stories like that, I'm sure something like that's happened.
And that they would, because of a sex ed class, that they would get hopped up on Mountain Dew, rob a 7-Eleven, and take the woman behind the counter.
Right, take the clerk.
But come drink on. Bleach first.
Yeah, a shot of bleach. They're hopped up.
And it's all right there in the 7-Eleven.
They're all hopped up on the Mountain Dew, and he just gets right behind the counter, right by the register.
Well,
don't have to worry about it. That's a deviant behavior.
I would advise against that, because you never know when there might be a guardian angel around the corner.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Did you see that?
What was the guard with the guardian angels? What? Did they cause another incident? More trouble?
Oh, you seriously haven't seen it?
No.
A 36-year-old Cape Coral man.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, the guardian angels who have organized recently here in town.
I know that.
They say that he approached them, but was not a member and hadn't gotten any training. The individual took it upon himself to go undercover in crime manner.
Yeah.
To buy narcotics. Ended up meeting an 18-year-old Hispanic gentleman.
Yeah.
Who then went with him to the site station on 41 by Pine Manor.
Yes.
To buy an aluminum can so he'd have something to smoke his crack with.
He's describing deviant behavior.
Mm-hmm. Well, at that point, the 36-year-old unofficial guardian angel sprung into action and I guess trashed the store because he was wrestling with this 18-year-old Hispanic kid and knocked over shelves and displays, but got him handcuffed and made a citizen's arrest. And called the police, and they showed up and arrested the guardian angel and released a Hispanic gentleman who declined to press charges.
Fine! He wasn't a real guardian angel, though. He's a wannabe.
But hats off to him. That takes some intestinal fortitude to decide to run your own undercover sting operation with no backup.
In Pine Manor.
And a little bit of stupidity.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's amazing. You buy a pair of handcuffs and all sorts of deviant thoughts go through your head.
Speaking of that, the eighth grade class, you want to talk about the girls in the class? You know what the biggest question about the girls in eighth grade sex ed class was? And I remember the teacher vividly telling the girls were raising their hand, what questions do you have, you eighth graders?
You deviants.
What questions do you have? And more than one girl raised her hand and wanted to know if they could get hurt based on the size of a man's penis.
Oh, yeah. Very threatening.
We've heard, can a guy be too big? And I remember the teacher going, girls, I want you to get that out of your head right now. You're going to see a film strip later on this semester of a baby coming out of there. I defy any man to be that size. And they put the class back into order like that. Then the questions stop. But you were allowed to ask anything in that class.
What did you ask?
I stayed in the back of the room, just took notes, and kept my mouth shut.
Eyes at the floor?
No, my eyes never at the floor. I was, oh, well, you. I had to go up at one point in time and pull out a body part.
What'd you pull out?
Point to the gonads.
I think because boys had to do the boys. And
so
girls
you grasped
do,
the gonad?
And I think I pulled a testicle.
Right.
I think I did.
And then I hate for someone to take that out of context.
Yeah, I don't do it.
You know what you should have done? Grabbed them and juggled them. That would have been entertaining for all the deviants.
By the end of the school year, they were lost and parts were missing.
Right.
They had to, you know, order new ones.
I want to make sure I'm understanding you correctly. Are you saying that the majority of 8th grade kids are deviants? Or
no,
ninth grade?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, 8th grade, they're not
they're
deviant
not. They're
yet.
Still basically good kids.
They're starting to form deviant thoughts,
yes,
though.
Yes, they are.
But they don't act upon them until 9th or 10th
correct.
Grade.
Correct. That's why the school system agreed, let's get them in the 8th grade, whether they'll at least pay attention to this, before 9th and 10th grade, where, you know, they have thoughts
well, it depends
like
on it depends on personality type. It'll do one of two things. It'll either scare them, or it'll make them want to try out stuff.
Of course.
Right.
But I'd rather try out stuff with the right information and not worry about bleach.
Right.
So all high schoolers are deviants?
No, absolutely not. Some are raised by good parents.
How many of them are deviants? What percentage?
87.
I wouldn't go that high. 43%.
Ratio of male to female?
High male ratio
yeah,
that, on that.
Yeah, a lot of testosterone yeah, flying at that age.
That's exactly what it is. This is the biggie. I saw his deal on A&E.
You've been talking about him for days.
Prince Ernst von Ribbentrop. He's a psychic, mentalist. He's a contortionist, plate spinner, juggler. I think this is him. Hold on. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Don't hear the music.
Hello. What? Oh. Hey, okay.
Aha!
It's two princes, spin doctors.
Don't speak.
Oh, sorry. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show the legendary Prince Ernst von Ribbentrop. Can I call you Ernst? Can I call you Mr. von Ribbentrop? Can I call
you? Summoned Prince Ernst von Ribbentrop.
Well, welcome to the show.
Who has summoned Prince Ernst von Ribbentrop?
The Stan and Haney Show, Mr. von Ribbentrop.
Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen to you too, sir. Can you explain to me why...
Have you followed the instructions?
Yeah, and it said to have you come on to the song Two Princes by the Spin Doctors. Sir, I don't understand why.
Have you followed the instructions?
I have followed the instructions.
And you have gone to Yahoo Deutschland?
Yes, we've looked at Yahoo Deutschland.
Yes.
You have seen my photograph?
Yes, we have. You've been around a long time, a legend in Europe, and now breaking into America.
Do you like my photograph?
Yeah, it's fine.
Very handsome, very stately.
Yep.
You love it.
I love it,
yes.
Okay? I love it.
We
I
love it.
I haven't seen it, but...
Do you have any questions about my photograph?
Where was it taken?
Bremerhaven.
Where?
Bremerhaven. It is the only photograph I ever loved.
Okay, the only place you've ever... Bremerhaven. Was that where you were born, sir, in Bremerhaven?
No. Where I was born in von Ribbentrop Castle.
Ah, oh, that's right. You are a prince.
That is correct.
Have we followed everything to the T?
What do you notice?
The monocle, the top hat.
Yeah, is there the nice suit of clothes that
you
have on?
You notice that my hand is positioned much like Napoleon.
Yeah, you got it kind of like tucked under the jacket.
Right.
It makes you look important.
Don't you wonder why is my hand hidden?
Why?
Because in 1982, I took, what would you call it, a garden shear.
A garden shear? It's like some scissors?
And I cut off three fingers.
Yeah?
To see if they would grow back.
And you found out, the hard way they didn't grow back.
How did you know?
Yeah, because you can't
You can't see from the photograph. How do you know?
You're not a lobster. You're
not a starfish.
Yeah, you're not a starfish. You're not a
snake. Why are you calling me names?
We're saying you're not a starfish.
In Germany, these are very, very demeaning insults that I will not stand for.
Oh, to call someone a starfish is a bad thing?
Your fingers
do. You will address me as royalty.
Well, what? I got to call
you
Prince.
Don't call me starfish lobster.
Yeah. All right. Prince.
Prince.
Ernst.
By the way.
Yes, sir.
I have already finished the crossword puzzle you sent me a couple of hours ago.
Are you kidding me? We sent you the crossword puzzle from this morning's Fort Myers News Press. We faxed it over to you.
I finished it in 60 seconds, and I had it faxed back a half hour ago. You should already have it.
Do I have that? Where is it?
I haven't seen it.
Isn't it amazing? I finished this in 60 seconds.
Okay, I have it in front of me now. That is
60 tiny ticks of the clock, and I mastered a crossword puzzle.
That's amazing. I'm telling you, I don't know how you... What's the trick? What's the trick to doing it? It takes people hours to do these crossword puzzles, Prince Ernst.
A practitioner of the dark arts since...
The dark arts.
I was born.
Okay, but is it an illusion? Do you have somebody give you the answers?
My only failure is that my extremities did not regenerate.
Right. You cut off fingers and they don't
In
come back.
In hindsight, it seems stupid to me.
Yeah, well, it was.
We agree.
But the crossword puzzle, amazing stuff. Would you care you're welcome. Would you care while you're on with us, Prince Ernst, to amaze us a little bit with maybe some of your psychic abilities, your mentalist abilities, something that will shock and amaze us?
I am very limited in how I can shock and amaze over a transatlantic phone line.
I think you can if you're psychic.
I can only use a portion of my talent.
Okay, please do.
What I can do to shock and amaze your audience...
Now we're talking.
...is
yeah.
I have already read your mind.
You've already read our minds.
Okay.
Who are you going to... I don't know that... First of all, mind reading. You're gonna really have to do some mind reading. Okay.
Now so, I will do the comedy portion of my act.
It makes
people laugh, funny, ha-ha.
But what about reading our minds? That's what, you're on the phone with
right
us.
Right now, the audience would be going, ha-ha, funny, ha-ha.
Okay, go. Then go.
I looked into your mind, and there is not much there. Funny, ha-ha, they all laugh, and then they clap.
Are you kidding me?
I think that's funny.
Shut up.
All right.
I thought you can really read our minds,
I can
though.
Tell, over the phone, I can tell the man who just said funny laugh, ha-ha, yeah. I can tell he is fat.
That's amazing. can hold on a second. Prince Ernst, can you tell us how much he weighs?
He weighs approximately... Oh, now I have to convert.
Yeah, convert...
from metric
to into pounds.
No, you can do it your way.
390 of the pounds.
390?
Wow! That's... You're right
and
on!
Pretty close.
I can also tell...
You're close.
Did I mention cool. I like to count?
You like to count? Go ahead.
I can count all the way up to 390 of the pounds.
Okay, go ahead.
I can count to 390 of the pounds. This is how much the fat man weighs.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Is that
there.
Another one of your funny ha-ha jokes?
Is that a joke?
Yes, this is where the audience would laugh.
Because that's not funny.
That wasn't funny.
No. Well, to the American audience. Guys, come on.
Who to is the American Satan?
Huh?
Who is Satan?
Who is Satan? It might be...
I'm seeing the letters. They spell out Satan.
Maybe Stan?
Stan.
That's what it is, then.
Wow! Hold it. What were the letters that you saw?
I saw the word Satan.
No, you saw Stan, right?
This guy's full of...
No, he's not. He's amazing.
He can look at the website and see pictures and see the name of the show.
No, he's not. He's amazing.
Hey, better start showing
it. No, I will not tolerate this disrespect. The only reason I come on this program is as a favor to my friend Yuri Geller, who desperately needs to promote his show on NBC.
Okay, now, here's the other thing. Prince Ernst, we're speaking with legendary mentalist, psychic, plate spinner.
He's shown me nothing so far.
Prince Ernst von Ribbentrop.
Who is the redhead?
That's what I'm at, look at that!
He's got the website up. He can see the pictures on the website.
This is what I'm trying to tell you, Prince.
Is he writing a book? Because I see the word tome.
Poem?
You're thinking tome. Tom.
Oh, tome.
Tom. No, it's Tom Smith. This is unbelievable.
It's on the website.
No, it isn't.
I
don't think that's specific.
I am getting a message from Satan.
Yeah, from me, Stan. See how the tie-in there? Isn't that amazing?
Satan, yes.
You just can't read.
It's amazing. Go ahead. What message are you getting from me? Read my mind.
Right now, Satan will verify this is true.
It's true.
Right now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The fat man, Cooler.
Yeah, Kool-Aid. Yeah.
He hurts here. And here.
Yup. He always does that.
He says, as if this is pain.
Right.
This is not pain.
What is it?
He wants more fatty food.
He listens to the show on the website.
Baloney.
He listens.
Baloney, he does.
We stream audio. You can listen anywhere in the world.
No.
From the website.
No,
yes,
we have listeners in Germany.
Yes, we've got emails.
Redhead persist in doubting me.
I don't know.
Because all you're doing is giving information that's freely available on our website.
You know what? I've turned into such a huge fan of this man. You are truly an amazing, amazing man.
You're dressed like Mr. Peanut on your website.
Oh, stop.
I also know for a fact this is not in dispute.
No.
That Satan
Stan.
Does not like the fat women.
Again, well documented on this show that he could listen to on the website.
He could do without them altogether.
Yep. Fat women. You're right.
He prefers slim.
Yep.
Feet.
Yep.
Give us something. Give us something that's not available to the public.
He does not get these women because they do not like him.
He's right on.
Give us some information that's not freely available to anyone who listens to the show or is on our website.
Prince, we're running out of time. Do something. I want
you. What do you want?
Do one more thing.
Try to convince me something
that you know what's going on. Do for him. Say something for him.
He has been told the disfigurities of his body were caused because his grandmother threw excrement through a screen and it splattered his body.
And which made freckles!
Right, which is what we said yesterday on the show!
Unbelievable!
We said it yesterday!
This is great!
This is nothing! He listens to the show!
This guy's not even German.
I'll tell you one thing he's not is a prince. Give me a break.
It's been an honor, Prince. Fraud. Prince Ernst von Ribbentrop. The real deal. The real deal. Prince, thank you so much.
I will thank you, Satan. The rest of them, no.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Guten Tag.
It's a four-hour family-friendly fun fest.
Now we're talking fun.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along.
Thanks.
I'm talking to people listening to this, but I'm glad you're here, too.
Really?
No.
Are you really
not
glad
really
I'm here?
No.
Well, you can be really... Your words hurt sometimes.
I know.
You've got to develop a thicker skin.
Half hour away from our first look at traffic... Bok Choy manservant who just better snap out of it.
Yeah.
No, he's fine because he brought us a pizza pie.
Oh, yeah.
From Tutumato.
Tutumato. And he actually was saying it correctly.
Yeah.
How would you say that?
That's what I'd say, Tutumato.
You don't be one of those people walking around looking to get your feelings hurt.
No, not me. I'm just busting Stan's chops because he likes to be mean.
I'm not. I think I'm a nice guy.
That's the problem. You think you're a nice guy.
I think I'm a nice guy.
You
gotta
think you're
an all right
guy.
Well, I don't know if there's a buy. I granted, my first impression of me is like, geez, what a jerk.
Yeah.
Abrasive, I think, is the word.
Mm-hmm. Petty.
I admit it. But afterwards, I think I'm all right.
He's got a list, you know.
Oh, I know.
And I'm checking it twice. Ahoy.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Don't take out your hatred for Beasley on me.
All right, I apologize. I'm not mad at you yet.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that you could have a little sympathy for an old friend who has had to run for 3 days. I can't keep nothing in my stomach.
Oh, no. What, you got a little stomach virus or something?
Or you've been eating your own food?
Or yeah.
Why is that funny?
Or have you been eating your own food?
Well, you remember I talked to you, last week?
Yeah, and you wanted to go and open up your place for the young people to do their drugs and underage sex.
I thought, well...
What?
There's a couple of things I got to talk to you fellas about.
Well, a man-to-man kind of deal?
Well, first of all, let me run this by you.
Okay.
Because I thought it was brilliant.
I'm sure it was.
This young kid.
What young kid?
And then this black kid.
Right.
I think his name was Quentin.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's eating what I called, I made up something special. I couldn't have the restaurant open. So everything was outdoors.
What? Hold
and
it.
Coolers.
So you had coolers.
Right.
Right. And I'm sure everything had to be free of charge.
Well, these kids are smarter than you give them credit for. Because everything was on a love donation.
Right. Right.
On a love donation.
And I was serving up what I call my wing-a-ding-ding platter.
Wing-a-ding-ding?
Did you just say you've had the runs for days?
Right.
Right.
But that's got nothing to do with this story.
So you're serving up the wing-a-ding-ding platter outside.
I had the wing-a-ding-ding platter. Yes, sir.
What's that consist of?
Wings.
Any sauce? Special sauce on the wings?
Whatever they had at the grocery store that day. I just put it out and said it was Tony's special sauce. You know? It was your basic Kraft barbecue sauce.
Okay,
and celery and blue cheese.
But this kid quit.
You're right. The black kid.
Right.
He's got barbecue sauce all over his face. And he looks up at me with the biggest smile, and I think he was high. But there's nothing wrong with that, see, because they say it's like, you remember you'd have a couple of beers when you was a kid.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. I remember Cape May, New Jersey.
Right. Yep.
And he's smiling and laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And just before he vomits, he's smiling and laughing, and he looks at me and he says, you know what, Tony? These are some suck-ass wings. Then this other kid comes up.
I don't think
white
that's
kid.
A good thing.
That's,
no.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. And that was just.
But he was laughing.
Right.
He wasn't upset at all.
And that was just before he vomited.
Yes, but I think that was the drug, see?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I don't think it could be anything with the food because I had it all in coolers.
Uh huh.
And then this white kid comes up to me.
White kid comes up to you.
And
you remember his
laughing,
name?
He's laughing very hard.
Right. Do you
and
remember
he's
his name?
A marijuana cigarette.
Right in front of you. What was his name? Do you remember the white kid's name?
I think his name was Dude. That's what everybody kept calling him. And then they started calling me that. Dude says to me, Dude.
Right.
He says, that's effing brilliant. He says, you got to do away with this wing-a-ding-ding platter. That sounds gay.
Uh-huh.
He said, You should call it Tony's Suck-Ass Wing. And then he took a long inhale off the marijuana cigarette. And he says, seriously, dude, think about it. AFC has made a living off finger-licking goods.
Right.
And you could have suck-ass wings.
I don't know that you want to do that. That's negative. It's not...
These kids were laughing and enjoying themselves, and I'm thinking maybe
they're on the drugs.
Maybe I'm out of touch with today's youth, because it was put to me as a positive.
No, he said they
were... So that's why I wanted to run it by you, fellas.
Answer yourself this. You served
them... It sounds catchy. You don't think about that. Finger-licking good, Tony's suck-ass wings.
You served them undercooked chicken... that was sitting outside with Kraft barbecue sauce on them, and he said these wings are suck-ass wings.
And then vomited.
And then vomited. That's a compliment?
This is a black kid quitting.
Right,
quitting. And he's laughing, and he's eating chicken at the same time, and he looks at me and he goes, Tony, man, these are some suck-ass wings.
And so that got your brain working. Yeah, that got you thinking.
And I assumed it was the drugs that made him vomit.
No, I doubt that.
From what I've heard, when they do the drugs, they vomit, and as they're vomiting, they choke out the words, it's like kissing God.
That's if you're taking heroin.
Well, I thought it was just marijuana and some pills.
No, it's not marijuana.
And who am I to be a hypocrite? Because you know what my arthritis, I'm taking, I take, what the hell is that stuff I take? The Vioxx.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to watch out. That can do. You take that.
They took that off the market, had a three-year supply.
Then it's past its expiration date. You're
But I can't afford that. I had to buy it bulk from Mexico.
Oh, God.
So what are you going to run with these
that's
wings?
That's Tony's crack. Vioxx.
Uh-huh. Tony,
you got any?
Yeah. No. No, you can't get it.
Hey, if anybody listening has any, because it's hard
don't
to get.
Hold it! No. Don't go on this radio show and asking for people to drop you off Vioxx.
Other people might throw it out thinking it's bad.
It is!
It is!
But listen, fellas.
So you're going to run with this wing thing?
I'm thinking about it.
I'm telling you, it's a mistake.
I just wanted to see your natural reaction when I said, Tony's suck-ass wings.
It has a negative connotation to it. It sounds like there's no way in the world I'd eat them.
I think bad food.
But they were all laughing and happy.
How you been the past couple of days?
I think it's a generational thing. You wouldn't get it.
No, I guess not. I guess, having the runs and vomiting, I don't get.
I'm trying to get a younger demographic. They don't mind the runs and vomiting.
What are you talking? You have a dump place that you call a restaurant that's hardly open anymore. You're like 77, 78 years old, three-pack-a-day smoker.
But the most I feel young.
The most out-of-touch person that I know. You get hoodwinked by every charlatan in town. It has cost you thousands and thousands of dollars and a lot of friends.
I think I'm on to something with the kids here.
You're wrong. They're going to use you, and you're going to go and be put in cuffs and put in jail.
Dad, it's been well documented how painful your romantic life or lack thereof.
Yeah. So
what's that got to do with your wings?
What's that got to do with your
suck-ass
wings?
Because you're simply jealous.
Of what? What, are you getting a lot of chicks now that you've got this place opened up now?
As a matter of fact, I am.
Nobody wants to be with a 77-year-old man. Some college chick.
Au contraire. But anyway, this kid Quentin came up with the suck-ass wings thing.
Right.
And right about the point that happened, this girl comes over.
Uh-huh.
Looks to be, I don't want to say.
How old? Underage? Are we talking younger than 18?
You know what? At that point, the kids were telling me that I had what's called a contact eye. Everything was funny to me, and I was euphoric.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The sort of feeling I get when I take too much Vioxx. So anyway, she comes up behind me and puts her arms around me and says, you are one cool, freaky old dude. And then she takes me out by the dumpster.
Yeah?
and mounts me. And I didn't even think about protection.
Uh-huh.
Now, keep in mind, this was last weekend. And I hear from her last night.
Yeah.
And she says, Tony, are you sitting down? I said, well, yes. I can't stand for long periods anyway. Uh-huh. She says, good, because guess what? I'm pregnant and you're the father.
Oh, no.
Now, wait a second. This sounds like this girl is like some kind of tramp. Probably has slept around with a lot if she's...
How dare you!
If she is mounting a 77-year-old...
Just because I have found love and
that
you have not.
That isn't love! She was high on the drugs and thought that she... I don't even think... Get yourself checked. You might not even be the father. She's a loose woman. She just goes around and does that.
Yeah.
But the problem here is a serious matter. At my age, I don't know that I'm ready to become a father again. This just happened last weekend. My God.
You know what? I'll trust me on this one. I don't think
she
you are the father.
She says she missed a period. She's pregnant, and I'm the father.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry.
Yeah, that's not you.
And I don't know if I was, too blitzed last weekend notice.
Yeah.
But when she come by this morning wanting money.
Yeah, wanting money. There you go. She wants money.
Let me ask you this, because it's been so long since I've even dealt with even thinking about pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be possible I had sex with a girl by the dumpster?
You're right, she mounted.
When she mounted me last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Is it physically possible that she could be showing already?
No, it's not.
You're safe.
Yeah, you're not the father. And drop the idea of the suck-ass wings. That's a derogatory statement.
Yeah,
it's
bad.
Wrong. Well, I mean, finger-licking good don't sound too appetizing.
No, finger-licking good sounds good.
They made a multinational corporation off it. Chinese can't get enough of it.
I'll see you later, all right? Finger-licking
no,
good
so
sounds
you don't
good.
Like suck-ass wings.
No!
Please, suck-ass wings!
No.
Dude.
No, dude.
You want to come party with us this weekend?
Absolutely not.
No, I'm not having any part of that. But don't worry, Tony.
I bet I could get you laid.
When I'm the third phone call, when you're looking for bail money, I'll remind you of it.
Right.
I happen to have private property.
No, you're going to get arrested
this
weekend.
And these are good kids.
This weekend, you're going to get arrested.
Quentin says he's bringing his whole crew.
Bye, Tony.
Great.
See you later. Bring the whole crew.
Hey.
Yeah.
F you.
You were saying you wanted to talk about...
Yeah, but I can't find it.
What?
I can't find it. I'm looking for it now.
About...
It was an article I read last night about James Earl Ray's brother, and I can't find it.
Was he piping up?
Yeah, but I can't find it, so don't worry about it.
So you don't want to talk about it?
Yeah, I want to talk
about it. I wish you
would
have told me.
I did tell you.
No talk about.
What?
That's how, quick sign.
He wanted a sign. No talk about.
Can't find. Then I would have just.
Why are you talking like Frankenstein?
Okay. That way I just would have,
No talk about. Can't find. Okay, I found it now.
Oh, good. I look over there and I'm seeing no sale coming by.
James Earl Ray's brother, John Larry Ray.
Oh, okay. John Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Not He's Lawrence.
No.
Larry.
Younger brother.
Okay.
Has put out a book. They've printed 50,000 copies called Truth at Last, The Untold Story Behind James Earl Ray and the Assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. He has been helped in his efforts by a non-accredited historian, a non-accredited self-styled historian.
Those are the ones you got to watch.
Of his motivation to write the book, Ray's brother says, I don't care about that, talking about getting money, although he needs it desperately. I care about clearing my brother's name. The brother of the man most people believe killed Martin Luther King Jr. lives in a miniature brick house near the languishing downtown of Quincy, Illinois. Inside, the brown carpet is mottled, and the place smells of mildew and unfinished TV dinners. It is teeth-chatteringly cold because John Larry Ray barely has two nickels to rub together after he pays the $300 monthly rent. He's lived here 8 blocks from the Mississippi for the past 4 years. They say he's pretty much unrecognized and left alone in town. He enjoys the anonymity. And there is a sister who is a former school teacher, Carol Ray Pepper, but she keeps to herself. He's got one picture of his brother. That's all he has to remember him by. He has been in and out of jail, prison, his entire life. And he said that when he was in prison, that he used to get gawked at. He didn't like it. Childless, never married, John Larry Ray turned 75 on Valentine's Day. 35 of those 75 years spent incarcerated, burglary, bank robbery, fraud, tax evasion, jury tampering. And I guess he prepared for the interview by putting a neatly typed list of the 52 correctional facilities that he is, he's been in. He says Leavenworth was the worst. He said that they tried to cremate him alive with a Molotov cocktail. Talks about his family. Says everybody was involved in some sort of crime, including Aunt Mabel, who was involved in organized crime, but we don't know in what capacity. Uncle Earl was a drunk, check forger, and woman beater, who Ray says once threw acid in the face of his teenage wife. His little sister Marjorie badly burned at the age of 6 when she set her dress on fire while playing with matches. Not a lot of parental supervision in the Ray household. And then there was James Earl Ray, an 8th grade dropout, petty thief, drifter, and perpetrator of the most unfortunate event of all. The accepted and conventional version of the King assassination is the night before the killing. James Earl Ray on the lam after having escaped from the Missouri State Penitentiary in Jefferson City in a giant bread box on April 23rd, 1967, rented a room in a Memphis flop house across from the Lorraine Motel where King was staying. Then they go through the aftermath of the assassination. He pleaded not guilty to avoid the death penalty, according to his brother. 2 days later, he fired his lawyer, changed his plea to not guilty, and over the next 3 decades, made 7 unsuccessful requests for a trial until he died at the age of 70 from liver failure in a prison hospital near Memphis on April 23, 1998. Ray maintained that he was the fall guy, an unwitting tool caught up in a wide-ranging conspiracy. Ray told anyone that would listen, it was the government and the mob that conspired to kill King. The gunman, he alleged, was a shadowy government agent named Raul. In the foreword to Ray's 1992 memoir, Who Killed Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Jesse Jackson wrote, I have always believed that the government was part of a conspiracy, either directly or indirectly, to assassinate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., or, as Ray's own father, George Ellis Ray, once put it, he couldn't have planned it alone. He wasn't smart enough. Lovely family.
We all got skeletons in our closets. Come on. There's always the family drunk. And
he also is insistent that his brother was not a racist. He supposes that Ray got labeled as a racist because he once inquired about immigrating to white-run Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, or because he purportedly got into a heated argument with a Los Angeles bar girl who'd said something supportive about civil rights. Ray's brother says, I never heard him say anything anti-black or anti-Semitic. He had a black girlfriend for a while in L.A. Usually racists don't have black girlfriends. And I remember him rooting for Willie Mays. And did you know some of his favorite ball players were Jewish? Fiddling with some wisps of white hair that spray out from under his black baseball cap, Ray confides, "My brother was never the same after he got back from the Army in 48. The Army changed him forever. He shot and wounded a black soldier there named Washington, and after that, the government started to control his mind. He didn't kill King. He wasn't the shooter." And that story about the soldier named Washington, evidently Ray continued to ramble on about that right up until he died, that that was something that, that haunted him, and they cannot find anything in his service records that, that indicate that that actually happened.
Wow.
And this this historian, though non-accredited, did do his homework, submitted more than 4,000 Freedom of Information Act requests to scrutinize the records of James Earl Ray, his military records, and so on and so forth. The central premise in the brother's version of events is that James Earl Ray, while in the Army in the late 40s, was subjected to numerous mind control experiments.
Okay, now we're getting out there.
He says his brother was administered hallucinogens, including LSD, and that 2 years before the assassination, he was under the influence of several government-connected hypnotists.
Hey, it happens, man.
Well, Stan's been under the influence of hypnosis. He knows how powerful it is. Yeah. Totally destroyed his fear of rats.
Yep.
Jeez. Oh, yeah.
But that's basically it. He goes into the mind control, says he was a programmed, obedient patsy. He was brainwashed, and then tells you, if you look into hypnotism, you'll find 5 to 10% of people are very susceptible to it, and James was one of those. They continue to affirm, based on ballistics, that there is no credible way that Ray could have killed King. But the main thrust goes back to this black soldier named Washington. This is the words of the book accredited to Ray's brother. While on duty as an MP in Germany, Jimmy spent much of his time arresting AWOL soldiers. In doing so, he was involved in several shootings, but there was one particular shooting of a soldier that had a major impact on him, haunting him for the rest of his life. In this incident, James wounded an African-American soldier named Washington from Tennessee. James felt horrible about shooting this soldier, horrible in a life-altering way. For the rest of his life, James appeared to be plagued with guilt, always grasping for a deeper understanding of the shooting. Later, when speaking about the King case, he'd often say it all goes back to the shooting of that soldier, Washington. The shooting, according to John Ray, severed Washington's spinal cord and made him a cripple. He says his brother tried to find him when he got out of the service, but never could. And goes on saying that he believes that that was part of the early mind control operation because he didn't want to shoot him. And let me find the part, because he goes in, there it is, where he goes to visit James Earl Ray the day before the assassination. On the afternoon of April 2nd, 1968, the phone rang at John Ray's bar. It was James Earl Ray calling for his brother from the New Rebel Motel on the outskirts of Memphis. James said he was there to meet the next day with a government agent named Raoul, a slim, red-haired man. No, you don't find that surprising, Stan.
Of course not.
That he'd met in Canada years before, back when he ran drugs and guns. Raoul, James told John, had instructed him to bring the Remington rifle with him. Jimmy told me he wanted to come see him in Memphis. To say he was in a panic, and these are John Ray's words, to say he was in a panic would be too strong, but he felt it was urgent. He asked me to meet him the next night. The next day, I put a machine gun in the trunk of my Thunderbird and stuck a couple of handguns under the front seat on the passenger side, just in case they were needed, just in case something was going down. James was involved with some serious people. It was now the evening of April 3rd, 68. Down in Memphis, violent storms had moved into the Delta. Raul was attired in a wet trench coat, looking like a true spook, when he showed up at James' room, number 34, at the new Rebel Motel. Raul told Jimmy, "We're staying for a few days in Memphis. There's a place located near the waterfront where we will rent a room." Meanwhile, John Ray says rumors had been circulating among the Memphis police that King would not leave the city alive. And then, of course, he made the speech about the promised land and all that. While King spoke, John Ray remembers he was walking into a West Memphis tavern to meet James. He was drinking a few beers, which I thought was odd because he didn't like beer. He said it gave him headaches. He told me he was going to do a job, but he didn't know what it was, only that he was to be the getaway driver. Then he told me he needed to go and had to meet some people back across the river. I don't remember him mentioning King's name or that he even knew he was in Memphis. He says, as I saw him leaving, walking out of the bar into the alley, it was like a scene from Casablanca. For his efforts, John Larry Ray received $8,500, which for a man who gets by on monthly Social Security disability checks represents his life savings.
That's a fortune.
Of what he'll do with the money, Ray says, I think I'll probably use it for my tombstone.
All right.
Wow.
Big special tonight on CNN about the King assassination. Witnesses that have never been discussed or talked to. And somebody that claims looking through a peephole in his hotel room saw the whole thing.
The only thing that people seem to agree on somewhat is that the official version ain't what happened.
Nope.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll get news headlines from Mark Haney. Of course, 5 o'clock, Haney and the news. Just want to let management know that from roughly a little after 5 o'clock, pretty much that whole front half hour, we do news.
Right, that 5 just to 5:30 is covered.
It's covered. It's plugged in.
Right. I thought people were pretty aware.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
At least people in the building we thought were aware.
Yeah.
That's like a feature segment of the show.
So that'll be coming.
I would think if you asked a regular listener, they'd be able to tell you.
Yeah. 5 o'clock's news time.
Yeah.
Goes for about 25 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Popular feature from what I'm told.
Over a decade.
Yeah.
What the... Never mind.
I know.
That's just a programming note.
Yeah, that's a programming note. 5 o'clock.
Well, that's an in-house communication.
Yes, 5 o'clock news. Okay?
Woo!
We'll also have, in just a few minutes, bok choy. Manservant.
I'm looking forward to that.
With jokes.
Another very popular segment.
Seriously. By, I hope, early next week, I'm going to get you some what they call easy readers. And we will practice together.
Like Dick and Jane books?
Dick and Jane books. You've
tried that before, and it has never worked.
You have to have somebody willing to learn.
You know, I am willing to learn.
Are you willing to learn?
He does fine. He speaks perfect English.
I can't understand him.
That's the point.
Let's check traffic right now. And a fine sponsor of traffic, Geico.
K-Rock Traffic brought to you by Geico.
K-Rock Traffic. Here's Tommy Trafficante.
Tommy.
Ahoy, Stan.
Ahoy.
Pretty light so far today. Fort Myers, we have a crash clearing, MLK at Palm Avenue. In Naples, we have a single car crash, I-75 southbound, just south of Bonita Beach Road. Expect delays there, onlooker delays, because it is the interstate, and that's how we do things around here. East Naples, we have a crash, Rattlesnake Hammock at 41 near Grandma's house. And in Estero, we have a crash at Williams Road, just east of 41, right by the high school there. 5-0 is on scene. And that's what's going on.
I will also add to that.
Oh, the one lane?
Well, that, there's one lane over by Broadway and 41 that was a nightmare.
And there was, I guess, a bad wreck this morning southbound right around the same area.
Yeah. Also, be aware of this, that I-75 road widening project... is it affects me every day now coming into work. They are actually
mass cutting trees alongside I-75 to make way for more lanes.
And you're clear cutting?
Clear cutting. And there's a lot of work going on out there, so be aware of that, which is slowing a lot of things
down. Is that IROX thing?
I think it's that IROX thing. There, I don't know.
A lot of stuff going on the interstate.
I'll tell you what, you can get away with a lot more if you got a catchy name.
Yep, but they're moving pretty fast.
If it was called Operation F Up Your Life for the foreseeable future, I don't think it would be as warmly received.
You're right, but you see the sign say IROX.
Hey, that's
cool. Yeah, they're doing something.
That sounds cool. Don't know what it is, but it sounds cool.
And it's good for all of us.
Sounds like a Camaro. Right on.
Coming up in less than 1 hour. It'll be Mark Caney and a new... Let me fix that. Let me bop my tongue back.
Fat tongue son of a...
Yeah.
I told you, you need to get that cleft palate fixed.
I got to. Mark Caney and the news.
You know, they got these surgeries cheap now.
What the hell?
It's called Operation Smile.
Yeah, they come up to an RV right to your neighborhood.
Wow. Let's take a look.
What's his name?
Dr. Pincus?
No, the talk show host that rides around in that bus.
Oh, what the hell's his name?
We've had him on the show. I can't think of his name.
That rides around in the bus.
The one that was going to help the waterman.
Oh.
You know what?
Montel.
Thank you. Right. I couldn't think of his name to save
Montel
my life.
William.
Montel William.
Yeah, he hops out of the bus along with a lab-coated son of a bitch. Right.
To help you. Let's take a look at headlines.
Coming up in less than 1 hour, an incredible story from Lake Okeechobee. A pilot falls out of his plane, lands in the lakes, surrounded by gators, but survives.
Wow!
Is that a movie?
No, it's not.
And you don't talk now.
Sorry.
Chevy Chase once warned Chris Farley, "You're no John Belushi, son."
Oh.
Al-Qaeda's number two sat down for a friendly web chat, little Q&A.
Hey, you're telling us about that.
Kids in Florida think drinking Mountain Dew will prevent pregnancy.
So stupid!
And finally, a 12-year-old saves mama by slashing her attacker's neck.
Wow.
These stories and much, much more coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Thank you, Mark. Just an observation. I think if you want to stop an attacker, you slash their neck, it'll stop.
Well,
it'll
it's an slow attention them down. Getter. Yeah. It'll make them mad. You got to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
They'll fight for a little while.
It'll make them mad,
until they don't.
Mm-hmm. Then you're going to get hit with the arterial spray.
Yep. Well, wait till you hear this story.
Oh,
it made
God.
Him mad.
All right, let's do it. Let's hope today's a good day.
Let's all have a good laugh. It's joke time.
Bok choy!
Yes! Ryan Seacrest hurt his knee when he ran into a wall during Tuesday night American Idol broadcast. Making this the first time Ryan Seacrest had injured his knee around a wall and a glory of hole wasn't involved.
He injured his knee by a wall.
That, you know that doesn't make sense, right?
No. Do it again. Making this the first time Ryan Seacrest had injured his knee around a wall and a glory hole wasn't involved.
There you go.
There it is.
Alex Baldwin.
That really would have been funny.
Yeah.
Alex Baldwin turned 50 today. What tell me that his daughter's gonna forget to buy him a gift?
Could be.
Madonna says she and Guy Ritchie have a great sex life.
Sex life.
That's what she said.
Sure, that sex hasn't been with each other. But you know, that's pretty much the key to a happy marriage.
Something's wrong with the delivery today.
Are you okay?
Because that was funny, too.
Yeah, that's okay.
Had it been
material,
read properly.
Man. That's
Let's
material.
Do it again. Let's do it again.
You got to have the emphasis on the right words.
Oh, okay. Madonna says she and Guy Ritchie have a great sex life. Okay. Sure, that sex hasn't been with each other. But you know that pretty much the key to a happy marriage.
Next joke.
What? What?
Beyonce and JJ.
JJ.
Jay-Z.
Oh, Beyonce and Jay-Z.
obtain
that letter is a Z.
They're letters.
Jay, I thought it was Jimmy Walker. What?
I can't wait for the book. Obtain a marriage license. Jay-Z agreed to it after Beyonce told him she was ready to take their relationship to the next level, but not the kind of level that would collapse under the weight of her butt. Jessica Simpson is recovering after being hospitalized with a kidney infection. Speaking of blondies with infected organs, who's Paris Hilton banging this day?
I start hearing him get on those topics and I cringe.
Yeah.
Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
How do you say that with
that's
no
problem?
I have no idea.
You can't say Jay-Z, but he says Nancy Pelosi, fine.
I don't know what's wrong with me, man. Say President Bush should boycott the opening ceremony of the Beijing Olympics.
Beijing. That's in China.
Don't you know that?
I'm not from China. And missed that photo op alongside world leaders that make him look tolerant. Not a shot.
Okay.
Just go to the next one.
Okay. John McCain reportedly once tried to leave the Republican Party. But hey, cut him some slack. Reconstruction was an awkward time for all politicians. The Army is allowing married soldiers to live together in Iraq. After all, the best way to deal with the stress of constantly being shot at is living with someone who is constantly screaming at you for not putting your socks in the shock drawer. Detroit had the lowest percentage of high school graduate in the U.S. Well, it's not like you really need a degree to turn down abandoned building. Native American students have effectively a 1 in 2 chance of getting a high school diploma, which are way better odds than they offer at their casinos.
What?
United Airlines ground 11% of its
fleet
to do safety checks.
I'm about ready to come at you with a pen.
Meanwhile, Southwest is offering discount tickets to anyone willing to hold the landing gear in place during takeoff and landing. A group of Georgia third graders were caught plotting a knife attack on their teacher. And they would have gotten away with it too, if not for you meddlesome adult. Orlando police arrest a Jamaican airline passenger who had bomb-making components in his luggage, but not before making him sing "Bad Boys" and a half dozen times. It sounds so much more authentic. With that accent?
You people are me.
Got that right.
An Ohio man was arrested for having sex with a picnic table.
Sex.
Catch the whole incident on tape on the hit new series, Outdoor Furniture Gone Wild.
The hit new series.
Having sex.
Scientists say they have created embryo by mixing the cell of humans and cows. Aww. Needless to say, the response from the scientific community was utter shock. Scientists say meditation can reprogram the human mind to be happier. Coincidentally, I just saw Rachel Ray get hit by a bus. Wait, not done yet. So I am already happy enough. Thank you very much.
Oh, don't pick on Rachel Ray.
Go ahead, pick
She's
on her.
She's America's sweetheart.
Scientists say that cigarette addiction is genetic. Then so, too, is coolness.
Coolness.
Experts say that an extra sausage a day increases the risk of increased the risk of bowel cancer by 20%, Fine, I will go back to shoving turnip up there.
Hey,
I just read. A study on rats showed that over time, buttocks, injection, end up in the brain.
On rats.
Show that over time, buttock, injection, end up in the brain stem.
Botox.
Which explain why Melanie Griffin hasn't been lucid since 1992. President Bush say he's confident a Palestinian state will exist before the end of his term. And if this news make you how in daylight,
delight
and shoot an AK-47 in the air, I don't want to stand next to you in a crowded marketplace. Al-Qaeda's number two in command will answer internet question. Sweet. Maybe he can help me figure out why my Internet Explorer keeps crashing. New Cuban leader Raul Castro is now allowing Cuban to purchase DVD players. However, if they want they will still have to float to Miami. Many Tibetans question if nonviolent is the correct path to independence. Tibet is the only option you have when you are 5'2".
We like that one.
Oh, I was making fun of Tibetans.
Yeah, not me. After 36 years in the ring, Nature Boy Ric Flair has retired from professional wrestling.
What's his name?
Ric Flair. Some are calling it the end of an era, but others admit that based on his last new matches, it's what time for him to go. So check out the
top
signs. You are too old to be a pro wrestler.
Top signs, you're too old to be a pro wrestler.
Yes, sir. Your catchphrase is, my doctor said my lenta. 5 minutes into your match, you abruptly leap the ring to turn down the arena thermostat. The dust you throw in your opponent's eye come from your crotch. Your biggest enemy isn't a wrestler, unless incontinence wrestler? Incontinence? Easy. Whenever an opponent threatens to knock your teeth out, you say, jokes on you, and then remove your dentures. Instead of asking the crowd to get pumped, you yell at them to keep it down.
So he's putting the emphasis now.
Yeah, there's the emphasis.
Your nickname, the Cluster.
The what?
Not the Crusher.
The Cluster?
No, the Crusher.
Crusher?
Do it again. Your nickname, the Crusher. Because that is what you have to do to your solid food before eating them. You are still holding out for that title bout again, the Iron Sheik. Iron Sheik. Due to a major decline in sensory abilities, you really can smell what The Rock is cooking.
You can't. You honestly can't Stan, smell what The
can
Rock
you
is
smell?
Cooking.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Yeah, I can smell. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
What is your name?
It doesn't matter if you can smell. Oh, God.
Right there, that tuba is just about how my stomach feels right now.
Oh, this one?
You too?
Pardon.
All right, we're going to...
Yeah. I don't feel so alone now.
We're going to take a break.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Thank you so much for spending the week with us. Couldn't have done it without you. K-Rock, hello.
Hey, Stan. That gravy that Sarita's making.
Yes.
Do you think it's safe to eat it? You know, it gets sweaty down there, I guess.
I am told. Now, I've got a jar on the way. She has it, and she puts it in a mason jar.
Yeah, you can drink iced tea out of it afterwards.
And you can drink
iced
tea.
Oh, it tastes funny for a while.
Run it through the wash a couple of times. You know how when you have the jar of something, especially gravy, and you use it, you run
especially it through. Especially homemade gravy.
Especially home. It almost seeps into the pores of the glass. And you can smell it, and it's still there.
I'm pissed off I didn't run across this sooner. I what I'm doing is I'm shooting for New Year's with this now. There's
what?
A dish that I want to have. If I thought about it in time for Thanksgiving, I would have done it
what
then.
Is
but
it?
I think I'm shooting for New Year's.
What?
Turducken.
Turducken?
Yeah.
Turducken.
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 Yeah.
Is it turd?
Turducken.
What is it?
Turducken.
What's in it?
Turducken.
Turducken.
You start with a 25-pound turkey.
Yeah.
Then you stuff inside a chicken,
duck. I've heard about this.
And then some people that want to go really over the top, you throw a Cornish game hen in one of the birds.
I think I saw it on a cooking show once.
And inside that,
yeah,
you got oyster dressing, and then you got another dressing that's got that andouille sausage. It's a Paul Prudhomme thing.
That's right.
But it's very labor-intensive.
Yeah.
And I think I can get it done. I wouldn't personally do it, but I think my girlfriend would do it. But I got
to
find a butcher because you got
to bone it.
Yeah, it's got to be boned in a certain way.
Or it could spell
yeah,
trouble.
And it would take a professional. Because you bone it wrong and it doesn't, you know,
oh, sure.
Won't cooperate with you.
Well, you got to be able to slice it.
You bone it right. I understand that it's really easy and pliable.
You know how, if you're a professional and you know really, really know how to bone it.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
I understand that boning it's hard, though.
Yeah, it is difficult. You need to know what you're doing when you're boning that.
Because you don't want it to get all dry on you. If you bone it wrong, it'll end up all dry.
K-Rock, hello.
Hey, I'm with you, man. The fluff pie thing is starting to scare me.
Yeah. I'm sure the pie that he's describing is fine, but his powers of description are not doing the pie justice. I don't want a foot-long fluff pie.
It's a mile. It's called the Mile High Pie.
All right, that sounds fine. But a foot-long fluff pie does not.
No, I was running through my head trying to get the name of it. And they have coconut flavor, banana flavor, and chocolate flavor. And it's fluffed up. It's fluffy.
Yeah, okay.
And it's good.
You want to come over if I get that turducken done?
Hell yeah. I'd love to try that turducken.
Yeah.
Get somebody to bone it.
Well, I mean,
don't bone it yourself.
Well, that's one of the things that it says in there. It suggests that you do have a professional do it, because I understand that the whole key to it is you bone that wrong.
Yeah.
It's all dry. But if you do it right, nothing juicier.
If it's boned right. K-Rock, hello.
Hey, those milk pies are like a chocolate mousse pie.
Yes. That is, yes.
That sounds fine.
It's like eating a chocolate mousse.
All right, fluffy.
It's very fluffy, but it's like eating a chocolate.
It's like eating a fluff pie. A foot-long fluff pie.
It's a mile high. It's not really a mile high.
You talk to me all the time about how, hey, we should open up a restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You put things like foot-long fluff pies on the menu, it ain't going to make it.
Hello. K-Rock.
Stan.
Yes, sir.
I'm not eating a fluff pie, but I'm eating a pie right now.
Well, then what are you doing talking to me?
Well,
yeah. K-Rock, hello.
Hey, Haney, you going to do a turducken?
Yeah, I think so.
They're great. I did one 2 years ago.
Oh, you did?
Did you
yes.
Did you bone it yourself?
Did not bone it, but we deep fried it. Now it's not a good idea. I wouldn't recommend that.
K-Rock, hello.
Hey, Stan, you got to be careful when you're fluffing a chocolate mousse.
K-Rock, hello.
Hey, Stan.
Yay.
How you doing, my man?
All right, my brother.
How's Haney?
He's fine. Say hi to him.
Hey, Haney.
How you doing?
All right, listen, I got a question. Isn't it against the law to bone a turkey?
Haney, you know all about that, don't you?
I don't know. I just feel like you should. If you're gonna bone a turkey,
yeah.
You should have a professional do it. Again, what I understand, if it's not boned right,
yeah.
It gets real dry. But if it's boned correctly, nothing juicier.
Okay.
Time now for Memories with Grandpa.
Father's Day. Hi, Grandpa.
Hey, Pugsley.
How are you, Grandpa? Grandpa. 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 It's Stan. It's Stan.
Oh. Are you calling about the boy?
What boy?
Stan.
No. This is your grandson, Stan, calling. Me. I'm Stan.
Okay.
Grandpa, do you know who I am?
Yes.
Have you had a stroke or something? God, I hope so. Have you had a stroke?
Well, I was just trying to get a little shut eye.
You've been sleeping.
Well, the air conditioning is out, and all I have is one oscillating fan.
Yeah, the air conditioning is out. It's a hot day, Grandpa. It's got to be in the 90s in that room.
Yes, and, you know, the windows don't open here for obvious reasons.
Yeah, we know why, too, don't we?
So I got one fan, and I count all the way as it turns away from me. Then I feel the breeze. Then it goes away, and I count until it comes back.
How long does it take?
Oh, about, well, it depends which you say, 7 or 8.
All right, I don't care. Sweat it off.
Mississippi, 2, you missy.
You know what? Why don't you buck up? You're always telling me how I got you to grow up and be a man. Learn to take these things. A part of being a man is suffering a little bit. Well, guess what? Your air conditioning's broken. Suffer a little bit. Man up.
Oh, I don't mind it. I just would prefer to sleep through it, much like I did in the hat. Oh, you worthless son of a bitch.
Hey! Hey! You know what? I called today to wish you a happy Father's Day.
I would like just one time to have you down on a table, forcibly lift your legs up, and take a bamboo cane to the bottom of your effing feet.
Hey! Why would you want to do that to me? This is Stan.
By God, you're telling me that I tell you to stand up. I've seen very little of you.
Hello, this is Stan.
I'm simply asking you to be a man. What's wrong with that?
I'm grown up now. I am a man. You're having flashbacks. The heat's getting to you, Grandpa. The heat's getting to you.
You wouldn't last 5 minutes. You'd be the son of a bitch that was cooperating in building the bridge.
No, Grandpa. This isn't the bridge on the River Kwai. This is not, no, I'm not Alec Guinness. This is Stan.
By the way, I met someone.
Yes?
Who used to be on the radio.
Oh, you did you? Who might that be?
Well, his on-air name was Merv.
Merv?
It was Merv the something or other.
Merv the Surf?
No, not Merv. Merv. Like Merv Griffin.
Yeah, but I don't know who another Merv is who was on the radio. I don't know. I don't care.
But he called himself Merv the something. It rhymed with Merv.
Ah! Look, Grandpa.
And do you know what he had the nerve to say to me?
What do you have the nerve to say to you?
He said, did you ever hear the story of Humble Harv? And of course I have. Yeah. Everybody knows that story.
It's a very famous story. If you don't know about it, look it up. that was bizarre.
Well, he showed her.
Well, yeah, I guess he did. He had it all planned out. Kind of like right out of Play Misty for me. Look, Grandpa. Grandpa, can you hear me? Grandpa! Yes. Grandpa!
What is this? Turn it into some sort of Hollywood musical? Papa, can you hear me? Okay, what's wrong, Yentl?
Look,
my mind is a steel trap.
The hell it is. I just called to wish you a happy Father's Day. Father's Day is on Sunday. And I know your son, my dad's dead, and you are a father. So I'll wish you a happy birthday, Father's Day. Happy
birthday. Last time I checked, I'm not your father.
You are a father. You're blood, so I'm wishing... Oh, this is... You know what? I remember when I was...
Humble Harv.
Not Humble Harv. That's a whole different thing. Although, you know, can you blame the guy? I remember when I was a little kid, I used to draw you one of those homemade Father's Day cards, and I'd run up to you and show it to you, and you'd look, you'd smile, crumple it up, and throw it away.
Well, I thought you'd left the room when I did that. I wouldn't do that to a child.
You did it right. Yes, you did do it on purpose. You did it right in front of me. I had the whole thing. I remember I drew a picture of Grandpa and Daddy and me, and I said, Happy Father's Day to you both. And I ran up to you, and I said, Here you go, Grandpa. Here you go, Grandpa. You son of a bitch. You right in front of me. You crumpled it up and tossed it.
Well, I'm sorry that that's your memory of it. That's not mine.
Oh, it isn't?
And of course, I would never bring up the time your sisters put you in a dress and made you sing Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves like Cher.
It was the time. It was Sonny and Cher stuff. I didn't know it was going to go and make a whole big ruckus because I was dressed as Cher. I had no idea.
The way I felt about it at that point, I didn't mind. If you were going to be Sonny or Cher, Betty or Cher.
Hey, do you want me to come over on Sunday and take you out to lunch? I can get you a day pass, and I can take you out to lunch. We'll go to some favorite place of yours, and I can take you out to lunch. Would you like that? Would you like that, me to come and visit you on Sunday?
Well, would you like me to be perfectly honest with you?
Yes, I'm your grandson. It's Father's Day, and I thought I'd surprise you and take you out for lunch. And then I got to get you back before 5, though.
Well, here's how I feel about that.
Okay.
If you would like to, that would be lovely if the air conditioning has not been fixed.
What if the air conditioning's fixed?
If the air conditioning has been fixed, then F you.
Hey! So you, it doesn't matter whether I'm there or not. It's just if your air conditioning's fixed.
Yeah?
How'd you like it if I took those oscillating fans out of your room? I can do that, too. I can go tell the head lady down over there, take the oscillating fans out. I'm afraid he's going to put a finger in there.
Well, that old Nazi, she doesn't need much of an excuse. But I'll tell you, if you really want to do something.
Yes, what can I do for you?
Well, I'd rather just go to the movies where it's cold and dark.
Okay, would you be able to sit through the whole movie?
I don't give a rat's ass what the movie is.
I didn't ask you what the hell the whole rat's ass what the movie is. I asked, could you sit through a movie?
You're damn right I can sit through a movie.
The last time I took you to a movie, I still remember it. You wanted to see that Doors movie that came out about 20 years ago.
And I wanted to see what sort of propaganda that hippie was going to put out.
And I told you, I said, Grandpa, that's about a 2.5-hour movie. And you said...
He's the same one that told that Garrison's fairy tale, huh?
Yeah, yes. You didn't sit through the movie. It was, I have to use the bathroom, then I have to go out and have a smoke, then I have to go and get something and I can't drink this sugary soda, and I gotta go out here. And the movie ended, seat was empty, watched the whole movie by myself, found you sitting out in the lobby.
Nope.
I ain't taking you to a movie. Screw taking you to a movie.
That won't happen again. I'll be in my seat the whole time.
You will?
Yep, I'll be stretched out and snoozing.
There's no point taking you to a movie.
Oh, come on.
It's Father's Day.
It's because you are not, you haven't experienced what I have. And in old age, you look forward to sleeping in a cool, dark place.
You're in bed right now.
staring at an oscillating fan, counting to 9 until it spins back your way. And you're telling me you want to go to a movie theater and go to sleep.
Well, I'll tell you, it just reminds me of the infinite capacity that man has for evil.
What? Evil? What evil?
I remember oscillating fan there in Hanoi.
In Hanoi. Here we go again. You spent a lot of Father's Day in Hanoi with that other family, didn't you?
What?
Look, I'm done. You know what? I'm done trying to please you. I'm done trying to call you on holidays, come down and visit you. You don't appreciate it. You're a cranky old man who, you know what? I hope you sweat to hell in that damn room of yours. I hope that stuff doesn't come back on. You don't deserve anything.
Well, listen, I need your address because I want to send your little boy a check for his birthday.
I don't have a little boy. I have a daughter. She is your great-granddaughter, and she's a grown adult.
What?
She's a grown adult. I don't have a son. I have a daughter.
I had but one wish.
What's that?
That you would have a boy and name him Stan.
Why? You're Stan, my dad, Stan, I'm Stan, trust me. There doesn't need to be a Stan the Fourth.
How the hell did I tell you what's going to happen to the family name?
Done. I end it. I end the family name. I end it. No more.
You're like a monkey trying to...
Yeah. Take that. A monkey that can hang up on you. And to hell with Father's Day and you stay in that hot box. The gratitude I get.
Stan and Haney, in the afternoon, glad to have you along.
Thanks.
Hey, well, you got something up your sleeve. Whoa, what's the deal?
Me and Haney are going to go in on one.
On what?
The Sparrowhawk 2 auto gyro. Only $39,000.
People spend plenty more than that on a car.
Yeah.
What's it run on? Doesn't run on Avgas, does it?
No, regular gas. It's a Subaru engine. Comes with everything you need. Engine, the whole works.
What kind of clearance you need?
What do you mean?
The runway.
I think like 100 feet. It's nothing.
Yeah.
And you can lock down the top rotor, so you can like drive it through a little trail, like a go-kart, to get to a clearing, and then just crank up the top and just take off.
And you're gone.
You need hardly any room at all to take the thing off.
Good luck to both of you.
Why do you say that?
Oh,
a naysayer.
I got this for you.
I'm tired of you peeing on our parade, man.
Tom, you got to understand the roles here. He is the pessimist, and I am the less of a pessimist.
Yeah. This is for you, Haney.
You believe in Jesus?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're going to meet him.
I love that.
I had to play it for you.
Because when you first saw that movie, you thought maybe he was going soft.
Right. He believes in Jesus. I'll cut him some slack. Right. No.
That was from Death Wish 2.
Isn't that the one Jimmy Page did the soundtrack to?
I believe you are correct.
Because every radio station had like a million copies of that soundtrack.
Right.
That was from, of course, Death Wish 2. Charles Bronson, as Haney and I were talking about the other day when we had the movie guy on, that very underrated when you rank him up with Eastwood and Charles Bronson.
He was a big deal, and he's been completely forgotten.
He was huge, and those deaths, it went as far, and I didn't realize this, all the way to Death Wish 5.
Oh, yeah.
Death Wish 1, he was the vigilante in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Which, obviously, with most things, the first one's the best.
And it was the best. Then they tell him, get out of here. You got to go to L.A. We want you out of the city. So Death Wish 2, based in L.A.
And the beginning of Death Wish 2, he's moved on.
Yeah.
It's a new life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone starts with either his girlfriend or the girlfriend's daughter.
Yeah, it's
a winning formula.
Yeah. Right.
And so then he goes on his vigilante rage.
Look at this beautiful, innocent woman.
Yeah.
in L.A., and then three, he's back in New York again.
Right. And then these scumbag pricks got to come along.
And then I don't know what happened to him after that. I used to go as a teen when those Death Wish movies came out.
Charles Bronson
was there.
He was Mr. Badass.
Yep. Very little acting
and
ability.
Maybe I'm wrong because you view things differently when you're a kid, but to me it seemed like he was one of the biggest stars in the world.
He was a huge star.
And completely gratuitous violence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely uncalled for.
And got his stardom very late in his career.
Because he'd been at it a while.
He was in the Great Escape back in the early 60s. And was in a lot before. He was an old guy before he really hit that superstardom with his Death Wish films.
You want to open up the phone line?
Sure. 277. We got about 5 minutes.
They've been ringing off the hook off the air, man.
I just want to see real quick what people do for kicks. Specifically on the computer.
Pardon?
Yeah, because, I mean, it used to be fun to steal music. Now that's kind of over with. And you steal movies, and that's kind of over with.
Right. What are you into stealing on the computer?
Well, not necessarily stealing, but, what's going on?
What kicks? All right. Yes?
Ahoy.
Ahoy.
And now Charles Bronson, he's like the county commissioner, huh?
What?
Agriculture. Earlo Bud Bronson.
Thank you, Haney.
Says he sits smugly.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. I was just flying with some gyrocopters this weekend up in Wachula.
How fun is that?
Now listen carefully, boys.
Okay.
If you're going to get a gyroplane, as they're called appropriately, you don't want to get one of those Sparrowhawks. You got to go up there and see a friend of mine at Benson Days. The week before Sun and Fun, there's a national convention at Wachula this weekend.
Okay.
You can buy all kinds of good used ones. You don't need a license. 20 hours. Is all you need is dual instruction.
And what are they going for used?
You can pick up. I saw a beautiful one there that's called the Black Rose. It's got a single seat. There's a dual seat instructor model.
Uh-huh.
It's got a 912 Rotax. So it runs on regular gas.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you can pick it up with a trailer for under 10 grand.
Wow.
Let me ask you just
about. It's used.
Right. No, that's great.
Let me ask you a quick question. What happens if you're up there and it stalls?
Well, I was doing touch and goes with my instructor at Wachula this weekend, and I had one in the pattern who decided he wasn't going to use his radio. And when we landed, we had a chat with him. You don't even need a radio, apparently, legally with these things, because they're FAR 103, which means they're an ultralight, which means you need no instructor, you need no lessons. You can go out and buy it and go fly.
Right.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Are they relatively easy to fly, though?
I flew on one on a dare. I've got videotape to prove it. About 2 years ago, and we were playing tag with a turkey buzzard, and the guy I was flying with would do a right-angle turn, stop, and hover, and the bird would stop in midair and look at us and hover, and then we would play chase for about a half an hour. I came down white-knuckled and never got in one since.
I want one.
Thanks.
I got videotape of it. It was amazing.
You can get it for under 10 grand now.
Yeah, and it's... You know they're going to put a stop to that sooner or later.
Right.
No, because the sport light. I don't have time to go into it. I'll be happy to talk to you off the air, boys.
Email me some info. Go to the station website.
I will be happy to do so, and I'll send you some pictures. I'm the guy that sent you the email on the flying car.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, man.
Okay? Send me some stuff.
That's Haney's car of the future. That has a Rotax 912 in it.
No,
that's going to be up at Sun and Fun in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you gotta have a pilot's license for that.
No, you don't.
Not for that one.
The one you sent me, you do.
So sport pilot license.
Sport pilot license.
Well, see, I just want to fly.
Dual instruction.
I just want to crank it up and fly.
Haney wants to have it in his driveway, walk out and sit in the thing, and have it just miraculously take off and fly him around, and drive it like a car,
like a Jetson car.
Yep.
That's it. K-Rock.
Jane, stop this crazy
ahoy.
Thing.
Hey, ahoy.
Hey,
Internet, Sony PSP games.
What, stealing them?
Oh, yeah.
Easy?
Pretty easy, yeah. You got to mod the Sony updates the PSP like every other month, and you just have to be like one step ahead of it.
Okay, I'll look into it. Thanks.
Hey, The Great Escape with Charles Bronson. He was showing his age in that movie.
And that was 1963 or 4.
And he was not a handsome man.
No.
He was no spring chicken in that movie, so...
And figure, let's just, and I don't know how long he lived, but I remember when, like, Death Wish 5 was out, it was a joke that this guy is still doing this. Yeah. He was well into his 70s doing Death Wish 5. If he was, like, 45 in 1963, tack on 25 more years, what's that come up to?
If he was 45 70. And 63.
70?
He's 65, yeah.
Yeah, old guy. He's dead now, you know.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
He was a big star.
And people today would probably look at him and go, how'd that guy get to be?
I know!
He had a lot of character.
Yeah.
I think he gave all of us hope.
Mark Haney and the news. Will you
good thing
please?
For that cough switch.
That cough switch
you
really
can
helps.
At least, because the cough switch is broken, just step back.
What do you mean it's broken? It I hit it all the time.
It doesn't,
here.
It doesn't do anything, though.
Oh.
Mark Haney and the news.
I apologize then. I had no idea.
Okay. Starts right now.
And now the news. With Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good day. This is the news for today. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. A few years ago, 67-year-old Anthony Bensavenga of Okeechobee decided it'd be a good idea if he learned how to fly. So he spent $65,000 and built himself an Aventura 2, which is an amphibious personal aircraft.
Wow!
Last September, Anthony was practicing his water landings at Lake Okeechobee. Even though Anthony had owned the plane for 2 years, he had only 40 hours at the controls and was still pretty inexperienced. When Anthony came in for his landing, he misjudged how close he was to the water's surface. And a water landing can be critical.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Haney.
One of his pontoons smacked the water, and the plane started spinning out of control. The force threw Anthony forward, and he accidentally pushed on the throttle. The plane lurched, and Anthony's seatbelt came undone. Now, we should point out at this point, the aircraft has no doors.
No doors.
So Anthony simply fell out. Just as the plane rocketed back into the sky, the plane continued on its own for about 2 miles before crashing near the shore. So, Anthony began treading water. He had no life jacket. And while it would seem to the untrained eye, maybe he'd gotten lucky.
Hmm.
Well, he was treading water in the middle of Lake Okeechobee, which is full of snakes and alligators, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, a man named Mike Bantam was flying over the lake in his gyrocopter.
What is this over there in the lake?
A lot of flying lawnmowers is what it is. The gyrocopter, like a helicopter, only much, much smaller. Mike radioed in the crash, and officials formed a search and rescue party while Mike continued to look for Anthony on his own. About an hour later, Mike finally spotted Anthony floating in the water. Mike was able to get a fisherman's attention, who he then led to Anthony. When the fisherman pulled Anthony from the water, Anthony was completely exhausted, but otherwise unharmed. On Monday, the National Transportation Safety Board concluded Anthony was entirely at fault for the accident.
Sure he was.
But that's not news to Anthony. He says, quote, I did everything a pilot shouldn't do. I paid a hell of a price to learn that lesson. What would you think if I got myself an Aventura 2?
No.
You sure?
I'm quite sure.
I've been thinking.
Gyrocopter?
Yeah, I've been looking at those auto gyros. I've been thinking about getting one of those.
No.
That would be a quick hop.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd like to own a blimp.
Because isn't a gyrocopter, isn't that still classified as experimental, so you don't need any licenses?
Think it is. Yeah.
No, you'd know.
Yeah, you don't need any licenses for that stuff.
That's great.
Let's both get one.
Sounds like a winner to me. And now a story we've been alluding to all day long. It's provoked many responses. Provoked my partner Stan to refer to as the majority of high school students being deviants. On Tuesday, a bill was introduced to the Florida State Senate which would expand sex education in the state's public schools to include discussion on contraception, birth control, and STD prevention, in addition to teaching abstinence. Most schools in Florida teach only abstinence.
It's wrong.
And you can't, do you teach people just don't do something? That's not really teaching,
is it?
That's
when you want to go and do it.
The logic, such as it is that since abstinence is the only surefire way to prevent unwanted pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases, it's the only worthwhile information to teach our kids. But a recent survey would indicate otherwise. It would indicate, in fact, that children in Florida do need a little more information on sex. These are actual responses to a survey of Florida school children. Number one, drinking Mountain Dew will prevent pregnancy. Number two, smoking marijuana will prevent pregnancy. Number three, drink a cap full of bleach and you'll never have to worry about HIV or AIDS ever again.
Stupid.
But unfortunately real.
I know.
Oh, God.
It's no secret that marriage is hard.
Really hard.
And for some people, sadly, it's inevitable that they'll eventually get sick of their spouse. It happens fast. Professor Daniel Kahneman is a Nobel Prize winner. He conducted a study of over 30,000 men and women to find out exactly when they were happiest in their relationship. What he learned is that falling in love, making plans, and getting married provides a level of stimulation that increases satisfaction levels for both partners. Something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're horny. But once the initial excitement is gone, or as the great B.B. King once said, the thrill is gone, we return to our miserable everyday lives. Our interest starts to fade.
Uh-huh.
And the professor says, after only 5 years of marriage,
bingo,
happiness levels plummet. So if I'm reading this correctly, the old 7-year itch is now the 5-year rash.
Yes.
According to the professor, it's because of the, quote, limited nature of the human attention span. He says it's in our nature to become excited by new experiences and to get bored with things that are familiar, and many couples simply can't handle it. The divorce rate in the United States is right now at around 46%. So how do you keep your marriage exciting? The professor says there's no real secret and offers no hope. He says simply, whether you're married or single, counting your blessings is probably the best approach to take.
That's right. He's right. People think that, oh, never mind, I'm not even going to get it.
We'll have more, I don't need you projecting. We'll have more news. Sorry, Stan.
I know.
It's an open wound.
It is.
In a moment.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News Channel with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, I apologize for doing that story about marriage, Stan.
Yeah.
I'll make it up for you later and go to special correspondent Tommy Trafficante with the results of the best ass contest.
Okay.
That's coming up a little later on. It seems Al-Qaeda is feeling a little misunderstood lately. That's why Al-Qaeda number two, Ayman al-Zawahiri, decided to have a little sit-down, a little online Q&A to clear the air, much like when you can talk to the producers of Lost.
Yeah.
Around 1,000 questions were submitted via the usual extremist websites. And on Wednesday, he took 90 minutes out of his busy day plotting our downfall to address the concerns of internet users everywhere. So you may be wondering, what did the people want to know?
Yeah.
We'll give you a couple of examples. Question, why is Al-Qaeda... That, I'm trademarking that. I think it's much better than any other pronunciation.
Right. Al-Qaeda.
Why is Al-Qaeda killing innocent people in Baghdad, Morocco, and Algeria? Answer, Al-Qaeda isn't killing innocent people anywhere. If innocent people get killed, it's because the infidels use them as human shields. Like in the subway, in the trade center.
Yeah.
Question, is Osama bin Laden sick or dead or what? Answer, thanks for the question.
Yeah.
OBL, totally fine. All these people who claim he's sick are just trying to rain on jihad's parade, but it's not working. Some people wanted to know, what about long-term goals, while others asked for advice on how they, too, could conduct Islamic holy war. When he was finished, he left things on a high note by calling the UN an enemy of Islam and vowing to do everything in his power to kill as many Jews as possible. Of course, with help and guidance from Allah.
Right. What the...
You know, you look at Clay Aiken or Ryan Seacrest and wonder to yourself, man, it's so cool to be effeminate and have everyone question your sexuality. I want to be like them.
What? Yeah. What?
Well, if that's you, you'd be right at home in Thailand. Because it evidently goes through the minds of many young boys in Thailand, where it's becoming a popular trend for boys to turn them into what's known as lady boys.
Oh, come on!
A lady boy is someone who starts wearing women's clothing and putting on makeup,
sick,
acts in an effeminate manner.
Sick.
Oh, and also gets castrated.
What?
That would be removal of the testes. The boys are paying doctors to cut off their gonads so they can be more like women. If a boy gets castrated before or during puberty, his body will become more like a girl's, and his member will shrink dramatically, and his voice will become high. Castration is so popular in Thailand that the cost has dropped to a fire sale price of $150. It's considered so routine that it takes 15 minutes for doctors who are well-versed to perform the surgery.
Oh, my God!
I think I pulled a testicle.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Best ass contest. Number 5, Kim Kardashian. Number 4, Jessica Simpson. Number 3.
I'm confused of who's who. Now that...
Top left, that's Jessica Alba. That's my winner.
That's okay. Nice.
Number 3, Jennifer Lopez.
That's the one on the far right.
Number
the
2.
Hispanic lady.
Yeah. Number 2, Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
That's over here.
She's not number 2.
The number 1
yeah.
is the one to her right.
Jessica Biel.
You tell me that the ass on the right beats the one on the left? No,
no
way.
It does not.
None of them beat my winner.
Who's your
winner?
My
winner is Miss Brooke Adams. Don't know who she is or where she's from, but that's the best.
Not really. I mean, Giselle's right up there with that.
That's a great ass.
That's just a makeup to you, because I did the story about marriage.
Right. I appreciate that. Okay. There you go.
Moving on.
Yes.
He stands just staring.
Shake it off.
I should turn this
around. Well, no, so you let him stare.
Okay.
It's best that he focus on that rather than his failed marriage.
Like you're batting 1,000.
I never claim to, but it doesn't get to me like it does you.
No, it wasn't getting to me, but the story that you were doing about...
Because you started to get on your soapbox,
It hits the wall at 5 years. And I wasn't getting on a soapbox about what happened to me. I believe that 5 years, it hits...
That's the natural conclusion, the natural order of things.
I truly believe, because so many people get married, and there's no way of talking them out of it, or they can't even realize in their own head the romance. That's the old adage that my professors used to tell me. Don't marry your lover, marry your friend, because you're going to be stuck with a friend a hell of a lot longer than you're going to be with a lover.
And you and I have been a lot happier than you were with your wife.
We most certainly have been.
Boy, he is so bitter today. And that's the news for today, Thursday, April 3rd.
Double MV, triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Woodward and Bernstein and Bradley. Yeah,
they're liars.
Animal Control, which is funded, I guess, through Lee County. On the phone with us right now, gentleman by the name of Roy Daniels. Hello, Roy. Are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Thanks. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You have come to the top of the list of wanting to take over Animal Control. Why?
Well, first off, I've been hearing, you know, the problems that they've been having and that they was going to have to do something one way or the other. And I guess the biggest reason is that I'm an animal lover myself. I live in a wooded area, semi-rural, and I have quite a few animals myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hate to see animals suffer, and I'd just like to help however I can.
Yeah, so what is it that you intend to do? Again, they've been hinting around they want to privatize Animal Control, get it out of the county's hands. You would take something over. This would be, obviously, you would hope, a for-profit business, or is it just for the care of the animals?
Well, the first thing is as far as what we need to do to get this ball rolling and to get this situation cleared up is to cut this budget.
Yeah, this is a pretty big budget.
Awful lot of money's going toward this, and I'm not so sure that it's doing the people or the animals any good. They're spending a lot of money on a building that they need heat and air conditioning for.
Certainly.
They have to have veterinarians there. They have to buy the phenobarbital, I believe it is, the poison that they use to put the animals down.
Roy, that all comes with the territory. You need a facility to house these animals. You need veterinarians to look after these animals for hopefully that they can be adopted before they have to be put down.
Well, you know, that's sort of a myth. As far as this animal adoption,
yeah.
If you ask them, they will even tell you that the adoption program is just not working. People don't want stray animals, and a lot of times it's not a good idea to bring in a stray animal. You don't know where it's been. You don't know its personality. And if you can, buy yourself a purebred animal and raise it from a puppy, then you're probably going to be a lot better off. And
so,
the adoptions really don't happen at the rate that they would have the public believe.
So, Roy, you're looks like you're going to be biting off more than you can handle. I mean, if you know that these animals are not going to be adopted, and you've got to build these facilities, get these vets, you're looking at a hefty price tag before you see any kind of profit.
Hold on. The first thing I'm going to do is eliminate the adoption program altogether.
Nobody can get a pet from Animal Control?
No, sir. If they want their pets, I'd suggest they keep them on the property or on the leash. Because once they wander off their property, they're gone.
So what do you intend to do, Roy?
You familiar with the Buckingham area?
Yeah.
I've got a lot of property out here. I'm willing to use my own property to warehouse these animals temporarily.
Temporarily. Then what?
I put up a big corral with a big barbed wire fence.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
And we will. What we'll do is we will sweep the county on a... daily basis.
Yeah.
And whatever animals that we should round up during the day.
Uh-huh.
And again, I don't care if it's a family pet or a rabbit animal, what have you. We're going to round them up and bring them to the central corral.
Yeah, and do what?
I'll picture about 4:30 in the afternoon after we put in a good day of ridding the communities of these unwanted animals. Then we will go through with firearms and euthanize the animals.
With firearms?
Uh-huh.
Not even medically? You're going to shoot them?
If medically was an economically viable alternative, maybe I'd look into it.
Then
but
what?
You can buy a box of shells a hell of a lot cheaper than you can buy a case of that phenobarbital.
Okay, so you're going to round these animals up in a corral. You're mm-hmm. not going to have any veterinary care for them. No shelter.
You're not going to have any veterinary care if you're going to shoot it at the end of the day.
So you're going to shoot it. You're not going to have an adoption plan for these things. You're going to have a lot of dead pets on your hands, a lot of dead dogs and cats. That doesn't make any sense at all, Roy.
No, it makes perfect sense.
How so?
Well, I don't want people to get the. I told you, I'm an animal lover.
Don't sound it to me.
Well, these animals, you gotta understand. The animals are going to be dead one way or the other.
What are you going to do with them?
If you ask me, a needle is more inhumane than a bullet.
What are you going to do with them?
These animals know that needle's coming. Whereas I will come up and go to the base of the skull with a bullet, and the lights will go out, and that'll be it. Good night,
Roy Daniels, a man who wants to go and privatize and start his own business for animal control. What are you going to do with the carcasses of these animals?
Well, I believe you pointed out that I won't accept any money from the county.
No, what? What are you going to do?
This will cost the taxpayers nothing. But I do believe that I can't be expected to do this without any remuneration at all.
Then what?
Well, in our culture, Stan, we tend to treat animals almost as if they're children, and quite simply,
a
they're
lot
not.
Of people they are. They're parts of the family.
I understand that.
And what are you going to do?
That's the way that our culture views animals, and I understand that. And for some people, that may be all right. But in other parts of the world. Animals are animals, whether they're livestock or domesticated, what have you.
Stop beating around the bush, Roy. I haven't got all day for you to talk in riddles to me. What are you going to do with these animals?
Well, if you
obviously want to make a profit with these things. You're not going to leave them open for adoption. No veterinary care. What are you going to do with these animals?
Well, if you want to get down to brass tacks, in the Oriental countries, there's quite a demand for meat of any kind.
Don't tell me
this. And that's considered somewhat of a delicacy, and I guess they have some sort of ritual where the genitalia of the animals is used for some sort of, I don't know, some sort of old ritual they have. And
that's a great idea, Roy.
Thank you. And the, I guess the French ladies really enjoy the pelts.
Don't even go.
I know a lot of people's going to make jokes about 101 Dalmatians, but that's not the case at all. It's a way for this program to finance itself and not cost the taxpayers one red cent.
You intend to sell meat and pelts overseas?
Yes, sir.
That's a great idea, Roy.
Well, thank you.
That isn't a great idea. That's sick.
Well, what do you suppose happens to the animals now?
They're properly euthanized.
No, they get a needle and then they get thrown into an incinerator and that does nobody any good. I understand that you're getting all emotional about it, and that's to be expected. A lot of people will. But what we've got to do is address the problem. And right now, I don't think anybody's going to argue that there's a problem with the animal control system and the amount of money that's being spent on it.
You're a sick man, and I hope this comes to some kind of vote, because I don't want nothing to. You're not going to have anything to do with this.
I respect your opinion, and I understand it, but I just want to leave you with this thought.
You're doing good work, Roy.
Well, thank you.
Shut up, Haney.
If the system was working as it was, you and I would not be having this conversation. I'd be off building another development.
Well, you're probably right.
That's a great idea, Roy.
Well, thank you.
Roy, you know, you got your own ideas. I don't know how you're going to pull it off.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to tell all of Lee County about my plans.
All right, Roy. Goodbye. Right. Goodbye, okay. You nut.
Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.